about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Can we have everyone's attention, please? This will only take a moment, and it will not be repeated.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
You're a big fan of Limp Bizkit then, right?
Of who?
Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, I guess I am.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
As I stand before you today, I see the greatest president in history. Of course he is. He was chosen by God.
His hands are so small.
And now.
Well, everybody loves you. How do you feel about doing morning radio tomorrow?
Really? Just me?
Yes. We need somebody with the gift of gab, and that's you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 20th of March.
Can you guys feel it?
The spring in the air?
No. Oh, that's close, though. I think that's tomorrow, right? Spring in the air. The excitement, the drama, the history. Can you feel it going on right now?
The 20th of
March. I don't know what. March Madness coming up? I don't know.
The Major League Baseball season is underway right now.
Okay. Is it the regular season?
It is.
Oh.
It's the dumbest thing that baseball has done in recent years.
Wait,
here's what's happening. The Mariners and the A's are playing right now in a real game, the opening game of the season.
But
that counts.
It's March 20th.
Yes, that's correct. So, you know how the NFL sends a couple of teams to London every year to try to expand the global popularity of that sport?
Yes.
Well, Major League Baseball does that too. They send them to Japan.
Okay.
Where baseball is already
nobody
the most...
Nobody knows about baseball in Japan.
Right, exactly. Baseball is obviously the most popular sport of all time in Japan, next to sumo. Okay. So they decided to start doing this, except they don't do it... They do it like a week ahead of everybody else playing. So the A's and the Mariners are in Japan to play a game that's in the bottom of the eighth right now. Seattle's up 9-7.
Yeah, it's 5:30 in the morning. And it's
I know.
The bottom of the eighth.
Yes, exactly. Because of the dumb time change, the game started at like 2 a.m. or something like that on the West Coast, where people who like and follow both of those teams live. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they play two games there, and then they come back to America and play the weekend spring training games. And then baseball starts like it always has on Sunday night with a big game. And then the rest of everybody else starts on Monday.
I mean, the only thing I can make sense of that is that football does that during the season. They have to travel to London.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they have many fewer games.
Yeah. So yes, they can and they do it during the season.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah, you know how they've made such a huge production out of that big kickoff, that big Thursday night kickoff in the NFL? When everybody knows football is back. Let's tune in to watch the first game. Major League Baseball wants to make sure you don't know the season has begun.
It's a strange choice.
The dumbest thing you've ever heard?
It's dumb.
I mean, Allie, you're a baseball fan. Did you have any idea the season was underway?
Zero. I'm still
That's so stupid.
I'm still not sure it is. I don't know if you're telling the truth.
Right?
Because it's dumb.
I think he's lying.
I am telling the truth. They've been doing this for like 3 years now.
Is it possible that they don't have time to travel during the season, though? Maybe that's why they do it before.
Oh, of course they do.
They don't, play 17 games a week, for God's sake.
They don't need a week to travel to Japan.
It's pretty far.
Actually, they do take airplanes, Kevin.
I know, but I'm saying as far as the games before, the games after, I think you get put at a disadvantage.
That's a reasonable question, but they certainly could, they could arrange a schedule where they had a couple of days on either side. You know what I mean?
Right.
To make that trip if they wanted to. But they've decided to do it in the middle of the night in Japan. That's what they've decided to do.
Let's do it the dumb way. All right.
Love, though, that Kevin celebrated that you said that's a reasonable question.
Well, it was.
I mean, it was a reasonable
question. No, but the fact that he was like, yeah, burn.
I was reasonable.
So anyway, so baseball's back, you guys, and with a bang. Coming out of the gate strong. This is how you win over fans of a sport that seems to be dying.
Hell of a defensive battle. What's the score?
9-7 9-7 But it's the bottom of the eighth, so there's plenty of room for more scoring.
Sure.
Tomorrow's game starts at 4:35 a.m. my time, so 2:35 your time.
A little later. Okay.
I'm going to tune in to watch that one. Yeah. So there you go.
Sure, I'm going to set my alarm for that. Mm.
All right, I got a lot of things to talk about because this is my last day before vacation.
What?
I finally
have the gang back together.
Are you going to Japan to watch a game?
Right.
As a matter of fact, I am.
He'll never get there in time.
Mad because he missed it. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was next week.
So dumb. There is a cottage industry. Kevin, you won't have heard about this yet, but I think you'll be fascinated by it. There is a cottage industry around a woman named Elizabeth Holmes, who currently, by the way, is awaiting a trial for what, Jensen? For fraud and...
I mean, basically all sorts of fraud, yeah.
All sorts of business fraud, right. So she... there's a very popular HBO documentary that's out now called The Inventor Out for Blood in Silicon Valley that I had the opportunity to watch last night. There's a book out called Bad Blood that's a bestseller. Jensen, you've heard a podcast on Elizabeth?
Yeah, there was a podcast called The Dropout that's been going on, I think, for the past year that I've been maybe too obsessed with.
Mm. Yeah.
But I would assume that's what the documentary is based on. Same stuff.
Yes, exactly. Kevin, it's one of the craziest things you've ever heard in your life because you remember the financial crash of 11 years ago or whatever it was. And there were a lot of reasons for it, but one of the reasons is the startups. You know, the startups, people were just throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at them because they had an elevator pitch, and there was nothing behind it.
Right.
Right? You would think that they would have learned their lesson by that. So you've got this woman, Elizabeth Holmes, who is a Stanford dropout who claims to have invented a way to revolutionize healthcare by taking a finger prick's worth of blood, mm-hmm. not out of the vein, but just a tiny fingerprint's worth of blood, and being able to drop that into a machine that would then run 200 different tests on your blood. And her idea, her vision, what she sold was, we're going to have one of these in every pharmacy, in every doctor's office, in every home in America if we want, and we'll all be able to make our own blood tests and catch cancer early, and it's just going to revolutionize everything. It's going to be cheap, and it's going to be fast, and it's going to work.
By the way, that's a miracle if true.
It's like, it would be like Salk. It would be like one of the biggest moments
that's
in medical history
thinking.
If it really pulled
It'd
off.
Like
and
Salk.
Also, one small thing to
I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. The one thing I would also note is she was 19 years old
mm-hmm.
when
yes.
this kind of attention around her started.
Yes.
And everyone was like, guys, we want to introduce you to the new Steve Jobs.
Right.
Like
wow.
That was how she was introduced mm-hmm. in meetings. It was a fury around an entrepreneur that probably has never happened before.
Everybody thought she was Steve Jobs, she was Bill Gates, she was Larry Ellison, she was the Google guy, she was everybody. Okay. So yeah, and she dresses like Steve Jobs and she's very weird and she never blinks and there's just so much that we don't have time to go.
The best part is her voice.
Yeah, she started to talk in a vocal fry, a deeper voice.
Mm-hmm. I pulled a clip.
Okay, great.
I pulled a clip. Now, I guess, and Donna knows more about this than I do, she was telling me that she taught herself to talk like this and talks like this 24 hours a day, like she does not break.
Mm-hmm.
Why does she think that this is going to make her successful?
Our goal is to be within 5 miles of every person's home, the Walgreens nationally. Our success will be in being able to make it possible.
So I hear that and I go, she sounds like... So you're putting her through the voice changer so she can't be identified.
Or somebody is making fun of somebody else that's stupid. That's what you do for the stupid dog.
And then I said, it's me, Kevin Ryder.
Oh, sorry. That was too much detail.
To go through the process of being stabbed by a big needle to get blood anymore.
That's a young woman whose voice it is.
Do you think she's fighting the concept that she's way too young to have all
100%.
This attention?
Yes, there's two things, and they talk about it in the podcast. One is that it is proven mm-hmm. that women who have a deeper voice make 20% more than women who have a higher voice in business.
You believe them more because they sound more manly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but then also she got drunk a few times and talked like this.
Yeah, one take. It's so fun to look at all of the different, but here's her real voice, and then you play it and you're like, oh, there's the lady.
Yeah.
She got hundreds of millions of dollars of investors and from people like Warren Buffett and from all the big VC people. And she got people on the board of her company like Henry Kissinger and George Shultz, another former Secretary of State, and all these super high profile people. Her machine never worked. And she was just incredibly secretive about it and made everybody sign these crazy NDAs so that they wouldn't talk about it. It never worked, Kevin. She never invented
it. Never had it.
She put her name on the patent, and then the guy who was supposed to testify in a trial about the patent killed himself instead. All right? And she never had anything to do with inventing it, but she's hailed as this great inventor who doesn't know anything about anything. The entire thing is, it's like the Fire Festival all over again.
How does Warren Buffett or somebody like that invest in something and not say, show me how it works?
It goes further than that. Walgreens purchased machines from her and had them in like 100 stores.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a machine that worked. They just sent a blood test, a normal blood test to Walgreens, set them all up in the stores, and it was a fake invention.
Wow. It's just, it's crazy. She has not been sentenced yet. Like I said, she is awaiting trial along with her CEO. But it is definitely, I'm not trying to bite on Jensen's getup on this, but it's definitely something you ought to know about and you ought to look into because it is one of the craziest stories. Like, you can't imagine this happened in the last 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like
people are way too smart for that.
People have been scammed
too
often.
Not me, but people with money.
People have been scammed way too often to fall for something like this. And it's a tremendous lesson in white privilege, too, by the way. Tremendous lesson. I mean, she's not even hot, by the way.
Oh,
but
geez.
But she's
think
white.
That has anything to do
what
with
what I'm saying is she's young and she's white, and people will throw. But look, let's all be honest. A brilliant black man couldn't get a meeting with these people that threw hundreds of millions of dollars at her.
Especially
you know what I'm
an
saying?
Ugly one. Am I right?
Right.
Man?
They got to be attractive, for God's sakes.
So anyway, Elizabeth Holmes is her name, and that's her creepy voice, and that's definitely something you got to know.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Not today.
We're going to talk about snowplow parents.
Oh.
These are parents that keep all obstacles out of the way from the kids so that they just have smooth sailing.
Clearly in the news right now, yeah.
Luck out.
And it never works. Fast food report on the program today. We're going to take another round of your favorite sound bites, which yesterday went so well. We could have done all day.
For sure.
Shocked by that. But it's fantastic. We're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour. We've got animal stories.
I
don't like that sound.
I hate it.
We've got Thomas Lennon.
Yay!
Oh, I love him so much.
In studio. And we've got your tickets for Black Keys at the Forum and a chance to see them at Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
And Ali is here. It's time for a first look at what's happening here on the Wednesday morning. Hey, Ali.
Let's all try to talk like that.
I would love it.
Here's $100 million.
You should have that voice.
Why did we stop doing half speed, by the way? That was the best.
That was super fun.
Start
hey, Ali, do your first story in the Elizabeth Holmes voice, would you?
Did you guys see the lineup for Woodstock 50?
I can't.
It looks really good.
That was genius.
Fantastic.
Let's all do it. I'm with Bean.
All right, guys.
I was really impressed. That's a pretty bitchin' lineup,
guys. I didn't see who's on it.
It's
Dead
pretty insane.
Dead and Co., Chance the Rapper.
Why don't you let Allie do the story? She's trying to do the story.
Seriously, I'm doing my man voice so I'll be listened to finally, Jensen.
How dare you? I have a blood test that only takes a small amount of your blood.
Oh,
you guys, this lineup is insane. It is, of course, the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, hence Woodstock 50 Festival. It's going to take place August 16th through the 18th in Watkins Glen in upstate New York. Just some of the headliners. Jay-Z, Dead & Company, The Black Keys, Chance the Rapper, Miley Cyrus, Imagine Dragons, The Killers, Halsey. No big deal.
Wow.
Raconteurs, Robert Plant, Run the Jewels, Brandi Carlile, Cage the Elephant, Greta Van Fleet, Portugal the Man, Dawes, Lumineers, Bishop Briggs, Young the Giant. That's a small sampling.
This is a two-week festival?
3 days. Oh. It is indeed 3 days. And of course, if you are nostalgic and you wanted a little bit of the 1969 festival, you've got Santana, John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival, John Sebastian, David Crosby, Country Joe McDonald, and Canned Heat. So no one
Canned
age group.
Heat?
Yeah. Going back to the country.
My favorite lead singer ever.
Oh, good times. So no one age group, no one genre. It's essentially, do you like music? Find something in here, essentially. It is insane to me, this lineup.
I'm amazed that there are that many performers still alive who played the original Woodstock.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty good representation.
Are there any double ups other than Grateful Dead, Dead & Co. members? Anyone else that was at the original?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I just read all
Santana
of them.
And Country
Oh, those
Joe.
People were yeah. there also. Yeah. Oh, I just thought they were old.
Cage the Elephant.
What if I told you it like this?
Oh, then I know they're at the first one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, for a second I was like, she's a woman. She doesn't
right?
know. And then when you did the deep voice, I was like, oh, a smart woman.
That's a woman for you.
Yeah, I thought you just meant these. It was for a different generation. But those people actually all performed.
Yes.
They played.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. It's cuckoo.
It's Sha-na-na is who I wish performed at both.
Right?
Because you know they were at the first Woodstock.
That's Bowser.
And you do it in the low voice, though.
Which I should have, because that is Bowser.
Right.
I think Akon is this Woodstock Sha-na-na.
Okay.
What is like, Akon?
Someone years from now we won't believe played Woodstock 50. Is
exactly. Yeah.
It is odd that
Akon.
What's he been up to? Have we missed like a lot of stuff that Akon's been up to?
No,
don't know.
I went bowling with Akon for the opening of the LA Live bowling thing. I had to do a live shot, so I was like, I'm bowling with Akon.
That didn't.
It was
happen.
Very weird. It was on television. yeah, it was bizarre. Anywho, so speaking of festivals, speaking of lineups, we've had this conversation with the lovely man that puts on Coachella, talking about where people are on the poster in the lineup is incredibly important. It's probably what they stress about the most.
And the bands fight over it
because
the most.
It's what the musicians fight about the most. Well, not if you're Janet Jackson. She will just change a festival poster. So this is really weird. So Glastonbury Festival was announced last week, and the poster has the top line of the poster. It's The Killers, The Cure, Stormzy, Kylie, Janet Jackson. She's like, why am I at the end of the first row? Nope. She switched it so she's the beginning. So it's Janet Jackson, The Killers, The Cure, Stormzy, Kylie. It's still up on her Twitter, even after people were calling her out.
That's
like,
so
you
weird.
Changed the poster. What are you doing? What? Like, you're still in the top row. Calm your tees. Or at least the one we saw at the Super Bowl. It's just, it's so funny to me how important that is. But I don't know.
I guess a lot of bands, like, if they're in the second line instead of third line, they can make more money getting booked going forward.
I guess so.
I'm kind of in for it. I'm kind of down.
If you're Janet Jackson, you're like, that's where I deserve to be. That's where I'm putting myself.
It's my flyer.
I guess it is her flyer.
Yeah.
All right, you turned me around.
There you go.
Congrats.
You turned me around, Jensen.
Oh, jeez. For a second, I thought you were full of S.
Okay, good. Some birthdays for you. Spike Lee, Sting.
Oscar winner Spike Lee. I think we should start referring to
Oscar that. Oscar winner Spike Lee, Sting, but the wrestler. Ruby Rose and Holly Hunter.
The great actor and writer Thomas Lennon on the program later on today, and more tickets for you for Black Keys at the Forum. You know, this show is right around the corner. They're playing November 19th, so we want to make sure to give you your tickets now. And you're also qualified to see them at Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas, which is mid-September. So all of that going on today's Kevin and Bean Show, 9 a.m. for your Black Keys tickets. How about a little animal stories, you guys?
Maybe a Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog.
Hold on, wait, stop. Stop.
What happened? Why do you have to stop and make it worse?
Because I'm trying
stopped.
To...
You stopped. Why did you stop?
I thought you were off and running on the animal
just,
story.
I hit the button twice, and then it was a mistake, so then I said hold.
But it started playing, and we were fine.
But then I hit it again accidentally.
So then I started it
again, and now you stopped it again!
It's your fault, Bean.
No, the
Congrats.
Third time is his fault. And one and two is me.
After six, so we're on the air, so people are hearing.
Oh, no. People are listening.
How about some animal stories, you guys?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Great intro from our friend DJ Omar Khan, and it's interesting that he brought up the pizza rat because we all remember pizza rat was the sensation in New York last year. Well, there's a new star in town. Sorry, let me let MTV News finish that sentence for us.
Sorry, Lady Gaga, but a new star has been born. A new viral sensation the internet is calling Metro Rat.
in Manhattan subway.
Have you guys heard about Metro Rat?
I have not.
No. Oh, you're gonna. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture you're in the New York City subway. You're at one of those machines, and you put your money in, and you're waiting to get your ticket or your change out, okay?
All right. The Manhattan subway rider who shot this video, Nicole Renucci, says while she was using the ticketing machine, the rat dropped into the receipt and change slot. Nicole told Gothamist that she could see its tail dangling out of the slot.
What?
Oh,
there's
no.
a rat in the receipt and change slot of the token, the subway token machine.
So she won't take her change.
Or a receipt. I don't want it. Keep my change.
It's a thief rat.
I assume that the rat owns it, man. What is the thing about possession is 9/10 of the law? I think that money is now the rat's money.
Agreed.
Agreed. Okay. All right, that's Metro Rat. This is one of the craziest.
Is he still in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he lives there. Yes.
Oh, no.
This is one of the craziest animal stories I have ever seen, except for every once in a while seeing a story about Mike Tyson racing pigeons. I didn't really know that that was a thing that people do that's big business.
He was serious about
it. He's very serious about it, yeah. Armando has just gone up for auction. He turned 5 this year. He's actually retired from pigeon racing, Kevin, and now he's a stud. Like championship racehorses, this pigeon is now a stud. He has already fathered a number of chicks, and the owners decided to put him up for auction. What do you suppose the best Belgian long-distance racing pigeon of all time went for at auction? How much do you think somebody paid for this pigeon that no longer races, but you're basically just buying him for his sperm?
It's hard to know without knowing, like, the purse size. Like, how much do they earn while they're racing?
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't race anymore, but I guess we're hoping that he will father a future champion. Let's just take a wild stab.
I'll say $2,500.
$2,500, by the way, is almost the exact amount that the usual price for a racing pigeon is.
Oh, that's what? Just any willy
nilly.
That's
the usual
one.
Price. Yeah, your average racing pigeon is going to cost you around $2,500.
A stud's going to cost you $25,000.
That's a great guess, Allie. He went for $1.4 million.
Are you kidding me?
No way.
He went for $1.4 million.
You are kidding.
The auction house said we were hoping for somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000. We only dreamed of $600,000, but two bidders from China ended up in a bidding war, and it ended up at $1.4 million. Apparently, Armando won his last three races, including the 2018 Ace Pigeon Championship
and
the 2019 Pigeon Olympiad. The president of the local Pigeon Fancying Association told the Belgian broadcasters that he was the Lewis Hamilton of pigeons. Lewis Hamilton is a very famous British race car driver.
Okay. Oh.
The Lewis Hamilton of pigeons, he is known. Although his racing days are behind us, he can carry on having chicks until he's around 10 years old. So they got 5 more years of stud fees that they can charge on this pigeon.
Insane.
Is it crazy, right?
Insane.
All right. We go to Noblesville, Indiana right now. A cow, there have been two cows in the news just this week who have escaped. There was one on the Brooklyn Parkway just yesterday. This one is in Indiana. He temporarily halted traffic in town just north of Indianapolis on Saturday, running away from police to a nearest safe spot. There's a lady who has a video of this. The cow crosses a busy highway from one side of the street to the other and then just hides out in what the cow considers a safe spot because it is a Chick-fil-A restaurant.
No way. That's awesome.
I mean, we've all seen the ads with the Chick-fil-A cows about eating more chicken, so he just hung out there until the police came and were able to capture him and take him back. A man dressed as a unicorn and wielding a crowbar robbed a High convenience store, High's is the convenience store, in Baldwin, Maryland, according to the Baltimore County Police Department. Around 5:22 a.m., police responded to a robbery there. He stole money and cigarettes. He was in a unicorn costume. He fled the scene and soon crashed his car several miles away. Officers were able to find him and arrest him. See, this is why I know this is animal service. Unicorns, I hate to break it to you, not real.
Not going to get away with that. Stop Nobody's going to believe you're actually a unicorn in the store.
Don't be that guy. Don't be the Santa isn't real guy.
I'm just saying, if you're going to try to get away with it, be realistic. Go in there dressed like a giraffe or something, and people will be like, oh, there's a giraffe coming in for cigarettes.
Good That's point.
A
good that tip. Is, that is
Yeah,
helpful.
Show up as a unicorn. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a giveaway.
You think you couldn't see as a unicorn just driving all over the place, hitting stuff?
Hey, Florida man called 911 after going to the bathroom and finding what swimming in his toilet. I'll tell you what, it wasn't a snake this time.
Thank God.
It wasn't a rat this time.
Yes.
What was swimming in the Florida man's toilet that made him call 911?
An elephant.
An elephant is
was
a great...
Was an elephant.
It was not an elephant, no. Shoot. It was a bright green iguana.
Oh.
Fort Lauderdale Battalion Chief Stephen Golan told the Miami Herald that the man just freaked out, didn't know what to do, so a firefighter came over, put on a sterile glove, just reached in and grabbed the iguana, took it outside, and released it into the wild. Man says the department gets all sorts of calls like that. Can you imagine working in Florida as a first responder?
No.
The 911 calls
first
you get?
Responder to anything.
The fire department tweeted out a picture of the iguana in the toilet. Said, imagine lifting the toilet lid and finding this. I don't think I would freak out about iguanas. I don't think that would be something that would scare me. But
same. If you're talking about a snake, then I'm scared.
That's right. A different thing.
For iguana.
Yeah. And finally, this is a crazy viral video. I wish there were more details about where this happened. The accents make me think that it may be Scotland or someplace near that part of the world. The guys are golfing. He hits his golf ball onto the green. And as he's walking toward the green to shoot the ball, an eagle comes down and lands on the ball, lands on his golf ball.
Majestic.
And starts playing around, like kicking it around like it's a soccer ball. All right?
Are you sure the guy didn't make an eagle, which is an actual term for golfing?
That's a great point, but no, this okay. is there's it's on video.
Okay.
This eagle lands on the guy's golf ball, and he and his friend, who he's golfing with, are doing play-by-play as they watch the bird.
Back this way, buddy. Dropping the hole.
Well, that's his third, your third shot.
Dropping the hole.
Dropping the hole.
Wish I had a better zoom in my camera.
So the eagle is still playing with the ball. Let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in.
It's in! Hole in one!
What?
Thank you.
He says thank what? You to the eagle as it flies away. He got a hole in one on the shot.
He picked it up and put it in the hole?
Picked it up and dropped it in the hole.
That's amazing.
So he had an assist. I love that.
Yes.
This has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories.
You drinking hot chocolate there, Kevin?
Yes.
That looks good.
Why do you ask? That's weird. I wish you wouldn't use your sexy voice when saying that.
Right.
Just saying it looks good. We were talking about, we couldn't remember what it is you get at Starbucks. Somehow it came up while you were on vacation, and we were trying to remember what that 1,200-calorie drink is
you get
at Starbucks.
It was a double chocolatey chocolate. It had the word chocolate in it twice.
Is there any coffee in it at all, or is it just a milkshake?
No idea.
It's off the kids' menu.
Yes, exactly. It's Starbucks, right. Yesterday we did a thing, and I'm going to just be honest and tell you that I didn't think so many of you would care. But
we have fought Bean for weeks on this.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't into it. But I will tell you that you listeners amaze me with the attention to detail that you play on the little sound bites that we play, little clips from movies and TV show or from each other's or songs or whatever it is. You have favorites, it turns out, and we had so much fun doing it yesterday. We were so surprised by some of the answers that we're going to do it again today. So if you have a favorite soundbite, we are looking for you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. Time for the early listeners to get in on this. Now, Kevin, what do you have? You put together some sort of a synopsis of yesterday.
Yeah, just sort of a compilation of a whole bunch of different calls from yesterday.
If you've got a favorite Kevin and Bean soundbite, something you've heard us play here on the show, you can call us. We'll play it for you.
That sounds great. Let me know how that goes.
I am Lemonade on Twitter. For this one.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Oh, that's great.
Here's Brady's favorite.
Oh, hello.
Jeremy, Allie, this is going to be on your tombstone, I think.
Lady Gaga!
Anthony in Compton. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, this is Ebola guy.
Ebola. Don't touch a friend. Don't touch it.
Alex, good morning.
Favorite soundbite?
The Hispanic sounding guy that says, do we need all that?
Do
Do we need all of that?
That guy was an eyewitness to a robbery in a convenience store. That came out of the news one day, but it has proven to be very helpful for us here on the show.
Marcos in Cyprus, good morning.
My favorite is I love hot Cheetos.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
So that was a couple of them yesterday.
A lot of love for hot Cheetos, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because these sound bites can come from anywhere. It drives my wife crazy because we cannot watch 1 minute of TV without me making a note on my phone that I need to pull a piece of audio. Shall we save the other one? Okay, so let me read a couple of emails, then we'll go right to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Because we got so much reaction from this yesterday, from people writing in who couldn't call or whatever. Omar says, one of my favorites is one that you play from Grandpa Simpson, and it goes a little something like this. This is for Omar. It's not one that gets a lot of love, but I was really surprised. Here's Heather, who writes in, I just love Lana Del Rey's Obviously. I hear it in my head all the time. It's my internal eye rolling.
Obviously.
I mean, that is a classic, right? Up next, we have Paul, who says, you guys have a great one about bringing the crazy extra hard. It always plays at perfect times.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Here is Letty from L.A. This was a tough one. You guys play so many funny sound bites throughout the show, but one that stands out for me is when you're asking each other for a name in a story, and for some reason you throw out,
Hi, it's Kat.
Love it.
Love you guys. Thank you, Letty, for weighing in on that. Man, we heard so many from so many people on the Kevin Bean social media and everything throughout the day.
Bean, I don't mean to rub it in, but we've been talking about it for seconds. The phone lines are filled again.
Right.
Again, just filled.
I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do this at all.
I was just a wet blanket.
I think this is a bad idea.
No one has a favorite soundbite.
We have time to squeeze in one call now, and then we'll take more next. 1-800-520-1067. It is Jimmy in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Jimmy.
Morning.
What is your favorite soundbite?
Giant-sized cans.
And don't forget the follow-up.
These big cans are one-third larger.
I didn't have it all. We got you covered. Thank you, Jimmy. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Foo Fighters, let's take one phone call. We're talking about your favorite sound bites. This is Pastor from Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your favorite sound bite?
Fire beer mug.
Is that the one you like?
Yeah, that one. That's the one.
Fire beer mug.
Listen to the
joy. I get a kick out of that one.
Well, as much as we've said it, we haven't figured out a way to do it yet, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the call, Pastor. 1-800-520-1067. What's your favorite soundbite? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
To my knowledge, this is one of the first times we've ever done this. We had a call in yesterday, mm-hmm. and there were so many calls, we're redoing it today. We're not replaying it, but we're redoing it live, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Time we did this is you faked your own death. I think we just had so many calls, we had to do it again 2 days in a row.
That's true.
All right, before we go right to your calls, let's do a couple from social media and the email. Chai writes in, my favorite is when Bean tried to make a sound like a cat.
Oh, sure.
By the way, that was not him being a cat. That was him being sexy. Allegedly, yes.
Yep.
A sexy cat.
Garen from Diamond Bar, heads up, Chip, I'm going to need some Doto here. He loves it when Doto prematurely says, call now anytime you're doing a contest.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Also, that is my favorite, so it's out there.
That's a great one. Yep. Also from the 909, the
call
best
now.
Drop you
get.
Not yet. The best
now.
Drop you guys. The best drop you guys have is the Balls 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 song. Every time you guys play it, I have to rewind the podcast and listen to it about 8 more times to get my fill. That's from Bernie, Ontario.
Balls 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 balls.
And one more before we go to the calls, and this is a deep cut. I don't even remember the last time we played it, but Vic writes in. Mine is...
Yeah, I hope not, too.
I mean,
that's the last thing any of us want.
You got to go way back in Kevin Bean history to know who that is or why that's awesome. But he was so angry with us. He was. All right, let's go to Phil Covina, up first, line 2 on the Kevin Bean Show. Phil, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's your favorite soundbite, sir?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I'd love to know the origin of this one. I think it was one of Bean's famous phone calls, but it's
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
Kevin, do you remember we got somebody that we were interviewing on the phone?
Yeah, it was just a random cold call, though. It wasn't anyone that was expecting it.
No.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
that was a listener.
No, it was a random person that we called to ask to mess with.
Yeah, it was somebody in the news or something like that, or somebody at the site of where a story had happened, and we just wanted to ask him a few questions.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch!
He was not pleased with being interrupted at all.
No, not happy.
I miss old prank call, Ross.
Same.
Thank you, sir, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try. Let's go to Tanya Costa Mesa up next. She is on line 6. I believe she's asking for one of Jensen's favorites.
Oh.
Hey, Tanya.
Hey, guys. It was really hard to pick because I have a ton of favorites. shout out for giant size cans. but I got a new favorite last night because I didn't know the origin of this one, but I was watching the Marie Kondo show, and she comes to the door, and she goes, hello.
Hello.
I rewound it like 10 times just because I knew it was a soundbite.
Hello.
Finding it on your own is quite a magical moment.
Yeah, a lot of work.
She's adorable.
It was a proud moment for me.
Thank you, Tanya. I appreciate the call very much. All right, we move on. Let's go to, where is it? Cassie, please, line 5, Redondo Beach.
All right, hey, Cassie.
Hi, guys. Well, I had a couple of favorites, but one of them that I think it kind of sounds like Marge Simpson, where she goes, it's a trap.
Well, we have two versions of that. The original, of course, Admiral Akbar from the Star Wars universe.
It's a trap.
And then we had a listener who called in who said the same thing, and I think this is the one we've ended up playing even more.
It's a trap.
I love it.
Great stuff. Thank you for the call. Let's try Katie, line 1. She's in Silver Lake.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, so this is a new one that Dean just started playing, but the Who Cares song makes me laugh every time. Never stop playing it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he does it a lot during my What's Happening.
Oh,
just
well,
so you know.
Allie brings us a lot of boring stories. But here's the thing, Kevin, you were on vacation last week.
Okay.
And we debuted 2 new drops, and I'll play one, and then Jensen has a new one for you as well that I think are both going to be in rotation. Here's the one that Katie's calling about.
Yes, who cares?
I like it.
Dean, how did you find that?
Oh, I don't think that's important. I don't think we need to get into that.
It is so good.
I am now fascinated with songs from the 1950s that didn't make the top 40.
Same.
That's been my off-hours obsession lately. So I think that song peaked at like number 90 in 1959.
We don't care about that.
I just fell in love with it. How about that? All right, we got time for a couple more. Let's go to Burbank. Moses, line 4, up next on the Kevin DeBede Show.
Hey, Moses. Hey,
Moses, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Long time listener.
Thank you.
One of my, this is an oldie but goodie, I think. It's the one that goes, how sweet is male ass?
How great is male ass?
Yeah. It's not sweet, but it's great.
It's pretty sweet, though.
It is sweet.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a throwback for us. We appreciate it. Let's go to Nancy, line 7. She's in Norwalk. Favorite sound bites again this morning on the Kevin DeBede Show. Hey, Nancy, what's going on?
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Okay, so my favorite soundbite is the one where the DJ says, I quit this bitch.
And got it for you.
Out.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
By the way, that's how right. I'm going out
that's
later
right.
this year.
I want to say that every day.
That is going to be the last thing you hear from me on my end when I leave the show, by the way. All right, a couple more. How about Mel? He's on line 5, and he's in Chino Hills, I want to say.
Hey, Mel.
Hey, guys. Hey, how about this oldie but goodie?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us?
Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Do you have that?
Let's see.
Hold, we're looking.
What are you even talking about right now?
No, not it. All right.
It's the Indian guy. And
All right, I'm looking at him.
Just hold on. What are you talking about?
That's not it either. Okay.
Hold on now. Indian guy you called.
Hang on.
What are you talking about?
All right.
I imagine Bean's house is like the library in Ghostbusters, but just with all clips and drops.
What are you talking about?
Nope.
That's not it. I got a lot of what
I don't think that's
about.
It.
All right.
What you talking about, Wallace?
All right. Why won't he stop talking?
I seriously don't know what either one of you are talking about.
Okay, that's not it.
Lakers.
Nope, that's not it.
No, I don't
that's exactly what I was talking about.
All right, we trust you. We believe you. We think it's a great soundbite. We just don't have it available at our fingertips at this moment.
I'm
sorry.
Let's take one more because Mike has a great suggestion. Mike, in Michigan? Hello.
Yep, I'm in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan there, Bean.
Oh, hey, Mike. Great to talk to you, sir. How are you?
Good, good. I think that my favorite drop ever, and it kills me every single time, are the Mr. Rogers drops.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Any and all of them.
But I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over me. And then my grandfather would take this hose.
He'd
go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Nope.
So you were playing.
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Hmm.
Some people call it a mouth organ, as you blow in there. What do you think might be in here? It has a long handle, and most people would never expect to see such a big one.
Oh, dear.
It surely is a big one.
Okay.
It's furry and brown, and some people like to sleep with it, and there are many different kinds of them in the world.
Mike, you want us to keep going?
I'd like to play
Please.
One.
How
about some make-believe about hose?
Do you have a special something that you take to bed with you? Does it help you to go to sleep when you hold your special something?
Okay, I don't like this.
Mr. McFeely came over here last night and asked if he could do something fun for me.
Oh, no.
A kind of secret, he said.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're out of time, but...
Hi, neighbor. Had a little trouble with my zipper there.
Okay, yeah, we gotta go, though.
Oh, look at all the colors on it. Oh, it is big. And you're going to go up in that?
Okay, all right.
Oh, dear.
Mike, we appreciate you calling.
Oh. Ew. That really feels good.
It is 6:53.
That means it's time for our good friend Allie McKay telling us what's happening and giving away free stuff.
Yes, I come bearing gifts, you guys. WonderCon Anaheim 2019 is happening March 29th through the 31st at the Anaheim Convention Center.
Yay!
I want to give you guys a pair of one-day tickets. How do you
call
think
now.
About that?
No,
actually,
wait,
you will call now.
Oh, do call.
Oh, do call now. 1-800.
Call now.
520.
Call now.
Okay.
1-800.
All right.
520-1067. I love you.
Thank you so much. Give a call, and three winners are going to get that pair of tickets to WonderCon Anaheim 2019. Let's take the first three. We'll make it easy. Right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's because I like Ruben out there who's answering the calls. I don't want to make it hard for him.
72-year-old Ruben?
He is 84.
Sorry.
He is a young, young man, just spry. Just looks great, you guys. Looks
we
great.
We hire veterans a lot here at Kevin and Bean, and we love that he was in World War II. So.
It's amazing.
He is going to be our first ever Kevin and Bean intern who retires before we do.
Or dies.
Call now.
No, don't call.
Hold on.
You guys, Cardi B is returning to her stripper roots.
Holy smokes.
By making her big screen movie debut opposite Jennifer Lopez in a movie called Hustlers.
Go on.
It's a film adaptation of a 2016 New York Magazine expose about a gentleman's club and the dancers who join forces to empty the fat wallets of Wall Street, quote, dirtbags who deserve to be drugged and robbed.
Oh.
That's wow. Aggressive. All right. So
look,
it's,
I was just paying for a lap dance. I don't know. I heard to be drugged and robbed.
Listen to who she will be starring in a movie with in her, again, big screen movie debut.
Mm-hmm.
Cardi B is going to be with Lily Reinhart, J-Lo, like I said, Kiki Palmer, Julia Stiles, Mercedes Rule.
Yeah, bitch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not bad, right?
All right.
That's great.
So never really acted before, except for Love and Hip Hop. That was pretty much scripted. But yeah. All right, Cardi B. Congrats.
She's taking over the world.
She really is taking over the world. Also taking over the world, Questlove and his fake meat cheesesteaks.
What?
I'm sorry?
So Questlove has announced a new food project. He announced it yesterday, and the Grammy Award-winning leader of the Roots has partnered with vegan meat substitute company Impossible Meat.
I bet they taste just as good as actual meat.
They're launching a plant-based cheesesteak sandwich. It's called the Questlove Cheesesteak.
Kevin, they're getting closer and closer every day to meat that you cannot tell the difference.
So by closer and closer, you mean 10% like real meat?
No, it's
15%.
No.
20%.
The Impossible Burger actually is like, it looks like it's bleeding. It looks just like a real burger. Yeah.
It's real good.
Nope.
It's going to be sold as early as March 28th at all 81 Phillies home games at Citizens Bank Park. But this isn't his first foray into food. No, no. He was nominated for a James Beard Foundation Book Award for his book Something to Food About, Exploring Creativity with Innovative Chefs. He's been on Parts Unknown with Anthony Bourdain, featured on Top Chef. Questlove, right?
Huh. Instead of a James Beard Award, he should have been receiving a James Afro Award.
Oh.
I mean, what's wrong with you?
He's just got the biggest and the best afro
in
the
business.
Right. No, we got it. It was just horrible.
Way more. I mean, his beard is fine.
No, we get it.
But look at the hair.
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
Kevin, you'll be able to try it out because over the next few months, Live Nation will add the sandwich to their menus at 40 venues across the U.S.
I'm so excited about not trying that.
Kevin loves impossible meat.
I really am just tired of people saying it tastes the same because every single time it doesn't. However, having said that, I haven't tried the Impossible Burger.
And maybe people need to stop saying that, just let you try it, not tell you what it is.
Good
and
idea.
Then guess what? Kevin's like, this is some good real meat.
Good idea.
And we'll be like, Kevin, that's not real meat. It's impossible meat.
Burn!
Sick burn! Impossible meat in your mouth.
It isn't a joke, by the way, that if Americans cut it, if the world cut down on eating cows, it would be tremendously beneficial to the environment, too. Mm-hmm. That's really not a joke. I mean, you're really doing the world a favor by cutting out a cow burger once in a while.
Because they're farting.
That makes things worse, by the way.
The cow
farting
farts.
Makes things worse.
Yeah. They'd
for global
fart,
warming.
Yeah, they'd fart less if we ate them, is what I'm saying.
That's the opposite of what Bean said.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening. He didn't sound manly enough. Tell me it again, but manly.
What I'm saying, Ellie, is you don't want to eat as many cows as you are because it's bad for the environment.
Well, now I get it.
So you ventured into a little Hulk Hogan there. That was amazing. Oh, this is a really interesting thing. How are you guys at eye contact when you're talking to somebody?
Terrible.
I don't know. I feel all right.
I can't look people in the eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is why I'm doing the story.
Out.
Because it's so for Bean.
Is that the Asperger thing?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
that's what 100%. It would be. Yeah.
But looking someone in the eye is so important because science has found that people who make a lot of eye contact are perceived as more competent, trustworthy, and intelligent. And I have actually said after we've done interviews with people, okay, first of all, Kevin, I shouldn't have looked over at Kevin because his eyes were bulging out of his head looking at me, and you had a weird vein in your forehead. That was insane. But I have said after guests leave, now Jensen's doing it, I have said that, oh my God, did you see the eye contact with that guy? That was incredible. And one of the people, I will say, that has great eye contact and makes you feel like you're the only person in the room, Dave Navarro.
Hmm.
Dave Navarro
is astounding
with his eye contact. However, a lot of people don't find it easy to make direct eye contact, like Bean. But
Bean, why? Is it just uncomfortable?
Yeah, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's
I think
the
there's
thing.
Something, I think it is, and I maybe it's, this isn't the right word, but there's an intimacy to
100%.
It that I'm not comfortable with a person.
That's
it's weird.
The word I would have used. Absolutely.
It's weird because when you're playing poker, there are tells that somebody's not comfortable with their decision. So you look at their eyes, and if they're looking down or whatever, it's sort of a tell that they're lying. So I think Bean lies a lot.
No, that's not what we're saying.
Oh, that's
the best and most intense eye contact in the world that I've ever experienced. Kevin, you were with me for both. Bono?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise.
Oh, I know Tom Cruise. That's like a thing Tom Cruise does.
Yeah.
But I thought Bono wears sunglasses all the time.
He does, but he looks right at you. He looks right at you.
You're just guessing?
No, you
mirrors.
Can see his eyes.
No,
you can see his eyes. They're not blackout sunglasses.
Okay.
But you know, it's weird.
Both of those people make you feel like you're on the same level as them.
And you're
which
the
is
only
absurd.
One in the room. Absolutely.
Yes.
That's why it's so important. However, if you don't like making eye contact, you can trick someone into thinking you're doing it. They say if you look at someone's mouth rather than their eyes, they can't really tell. And I say, incorrect, sir. Because I have literally said, what are you looking at right now? Like,
it's not your mouth.
No, when someone's looking at my mouth, I'm like, do you want to make out? What do you want to do?
You have a very pretty mouth.
Yeah, exactly. And then I hear a banjo, and I'm just uncomfortable. So I'm saying if you could look more, like, at their nose or something, that would be probably better than the mouth.
That's hard to avoid with you, Allie, but
right?
My point
it
is.
Hey-o, big nose. Did you have more, or was that you just wanted that dig in?
No, I was just.
Okay, he'll take
some later.
Okay.
By the way, I'm going to tell you, we have no time at all to get into this.
All right, let's go.
Maybe I should save it. Maybe I should save it for another time. But just briefly, I am anxiety ridden, as you guys know.
Yeah.
To the point where I had to take time off last year, and I'm on all sorts of medication, and I'm going to therapy and everything. One of the most terrifying things in the world to me is that I have to interview for jobs soon.
Yeah.
And I am freaking out by that. I now have to worry about, because I've been blessed to have this job for so long, I now have to be worried about first impressions. And I now have to be worried about what to say and what not to say and how to come across as a competent person. And I don't know how I'm going to do that. I really don't.
I can see why you're afraid of that, but you've done this long enough and you're good enough at it that it's not going to take that
but
much.
But they don't know that.
They'll know that in your answers.
But
they will know that.
My first experience was in Atlanta when we met up with listeners at a restaurant. It was a bunch of great people there.
And very engaging.
Was an incredible engaged
Absolutely.
Host. Incredible.
He can turn it on in a heartbeat. Yeah. He's
Until
wonderful
Until I told
at
everyone
it.
To hug him. And then that made
no,
him
he
very
doesn't. He doesn't want to hug, which is good because you shouldn't be hugging the person interviewing you for a job. So I think you're going to be just fine.
That
I
was
really
how
do.
I was going to break the ice. No. Was just a big old bear hug.
Sure,
all
people.
And just hold it a little too
yeah.
long.
No, and maybe whisper in their ear, I really want this job.
Not in this culture.
Not that, just, no? I want this.
Oh, yeah, leave out job.
Yep.
Open-ended. I yep. like it.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Got it.
All right.
And then just a wink.
Oh, a wink always helps, Bean. I've told you that for years.
Please,
always
please.
Helps. Nothing creepy about a wink.
And a reach around everything. While we're at it.
Oh, whoa. Wow. Too far.
Wow.
Too far. All right, guys, some birthdays for you. Holly Hunter, Spike Lee, Ruby.
1 hour from right now, one of our favorites, writer, comedian, and actor Thomas Lennon is going to be in. Like, he's not already impressive enough. He's showing off now. He's on the New York Times bestseller list this week at number two.
He's sure. too good at things.
He's too good at things.
Yeah.
It's very true.
It's annoying.
Anyway, Tom Lennon next hour here on K-Rock. Jensen, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Let's do the Fast Food Report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report. With your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, gumshoe.
None of that makes sense.
No. It's the star of the QSR. I'm back and ready to give you some brand new fast food at your favorite restaurants. And you tell me if you would eat it or beat it.
Okay.
All right. It's time for the first Little Caesars appearance on the Fast Food Report. And what a debut it is. Tomorrow, the pizza franchise welcomes back their $12 bacon-wrapped deep dish pizza at select locations. You might be asking, what is the bacon-wrapped deep dish? Deep dish pizza. And I'm going to tell you, it's an 8-corner deep dish pizza wrapped in over 3.5 feet of whole strips of thick-cut crispy bacon, then topped with pepperoni and more pieces of smoky, crumbled, savory bacon. That's a Jew's nightmare, but that's not a concern to you, Goyim. So I ask you, eat it or beat it? Allie first.
Oh, I'm going to eat it.
Eat it.
Kevin?
I'm going to say something that may be controversial, may strike you guys as perhaps communist.
Oh, no.
Not a big fan of bacon.
What?
And so?
For that reason, I'm out.
Beat it.
Bean?
It's not Shark Tank.
I know.
I'm not asking you to buy Little Caesars.
I have a very strict, almost 30-year no pig policy,
yep.
So this, I'm sorry, just has way too much pig on it for me. I'm going to also have to pass.
Beat it.
I think it's delivered to you by a pig. So
yeah. Listen, Bean.
Then I'm back in.
I shouldn't say this, but I'll take your hog.
Beat it.
I accept.
Do any of you know what Easter Pascaboard is?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, this Easter really will involve the return of Christ because IKEA will be holding Easter Pascaboard. That's an all-you-can-eat Easter buffet on April 5th. Yes.
At IKEA?
IKEA.
What?
They may be known for hard-to-assemble furniture that truly only looks good in college dorms, but now, at participating stores, the spread will include these items. Deviled eggs with shrimp or seaweed pearls, marinated salmon with mustard sauce, their signature meatballs, Swedish ham, red potato salad, desserts, and much, much more. To attend, you'll need to purchase a ticket at $16.99 per person.
Wow!
$4.99 for kids, 12 and under, and they will sell out. That's 100% for sure. So I ask you, while others are searching for painted eggs, will you pay IKEA to serve you Swedish delicacies? Eat it or beat it. Kevin first.
Beat it. No way.
Allie, will you go to IKEA to eat food?
I can't beat it enough.
Beat it.
Bean.
I have heard that IKEA's food is way better than you expect
it
to be.
The meatballs are great.
They are.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. They're kind of legendary, yeah.
But will you eat things like deviled eggs with seaweed pearls there?
Yeah, it's like the whole thing. Yes or no?
I don't think I'm going to IKEA for the buffet, so I'm going to also
eat it.
Would you rather go to a strip club for the buffet or IKEA?
Absolutely. The 2 o'clock special? You bet.
All right. McDonald's in Australia and New Zealand are seasonally offering something that caught my eye this year, and I'm happy to feature it for you today. Say hello to hot cross buns.
Hot Ooh, cross buns.
I'm intrigued.
Part of their McCafe menu, they're very popular during Easter. These are dessert breads that come in both fruit and chocolate chip varieties. Think of it as a cross between a muffin and a wheat biscuit.
Okay.
It's also marked with an iced crossing on the top to symbolize the crucifixion.
The crucifying
of Christ.
No.
Those are some pretty chill-ass visuals for your pastries.
No.
Both versions can be toasted with butter upon request. These are limited and will only be available until they sell out. So I ask you now, with Jesus in your heart, eat it or beat it.
May I go first?
Yes.
I want to buy all of them, eat all of them, so that none of you even get them. That's how into this product I am.
Wow.
I am obsessed with baked goods. I've just discovered soda bread this year, and I can't stop eating it. Mm-hmm. I'm all about this cross bun.
So if Allie and I want to vote eat it, then we can't.
It doesn't matter because
it's all gone?
Because I've already eaten. Bought out the whole place.
Beat it.
That's for you guys.
I was an eater.
Nope. I too was an eater.
Okay.
It's a beat it. All this right. week, the somewhat stubborn menu over at Chick-fil-A got an addition with the brand new Frosted Key Lime. The newest Frosted features a blend of vanilla soft serve, lemonade, and a natural sugar-free lime flavoring made from a blend of key limes, kefir limes, and Persian limes. They will be available through the end of May with a price tag of $3.25. We know Allie loves the key lime, but will you take it in Frosted form? I ask you, drink it or sink it, Allie first.
I'm going to drink it.
I'm going to drink the crap out of it.
Bean?
I will drink it if it's offered from any other establishment, but Chick-fil-A. But because they hate the gays, I boycott them. I do not eat there.
Technically, that is a...
Sink it.
Yeah, right. Afraid so.
Let's end with a gaudy dessert, shall we? Sonic
Eat
is...
it.
We'll give me a second. Sonic is bringing back a chocoholic's dream. Now listen to this. The Double Stuff Oreo Waffle Cone. Available for a limited time, first introduced last year, the cold dessert features an Oreo chocolate cookie waffle cone that is coated on the inside with Oreo cream,
then
filled with vanilla ice cream, and finally topped off with a drizzle of Oreo cream and crumbled Oreo cookies.
Can I go first?
All right. Forget that. This is not even just a sweet tooth. This is an entire sweet mouth.
Okay.
I like your mouth. It's got a price tag of $2.49, so you know the drill. Eat it or beat it. Kevin, all right, go for it.
I'm going to eat all of it so nobody else has a chance.
Then
Beat it.
And that's it. That's the fast food report. Thank you, guys.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the fast food report with Jen.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 720.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Three.
In the first Major League Baseball game of the year,
Seattle Mariners
beat the Oakland Athletics 9-7. It's a game that counts. It happened in Japan. Most teams don't play till this weekend, but this is the first game of the season. I'm here to tell you that the Seattle Mariners are undefeated.
Yeah.
And Kevin, if the season ended today.
Yeah.
I don't know where Bean went.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
We didn't even hear any cutting out.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, no.
What?
There he is.
Still here?
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, of course I'm here. I was talking about the baseball season began, and the Mariners are undefeated.
Uh-huh.
And they're the best team in baseball.
Oh, no, he's gone again.
Oh, I can't hear you, Bean. Speak up.
It's weird I knew he was gone again before hearing that.
Bean, are you there? Are you there, Bean?
It's baseball season. That's all. I'm here.
This college prep scandal has rocked the world.
Yeah.
By the way, what kind of impact will this have on Felicity Huffman because of the kind of crime it is? She didn't kidnap a guy or beat up a guy or kill a guy. Because of the kind of crime it is, will this impact her ability to get work?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this
it's white collar crime, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, every time you have to answer these questions when you go out to do press for your new movie or your TV show, this is going to become a real nuisance to her if she doesn't end up going to jail. It's still going to affect her terribly.
I don't know. I think she's too big to fail. Felicity Huffman.
But they need to have some sort of answer to this because a lot of people didn't get into college because that part, you know, that spot was taken by someone who cheated their way in. So it isn't a huge crime, like you said, kidnapping, robbery, murder. But at the same time, this affected people and their futures.
People who probably had the grades to get in and would have been accepted.
Worked their whole lives to get in.
And some of these people are suing the colleges because of that, because the obviously the admission practices were unfair. Well, the reason we bring all this up is there is a fascinating article in the New York Times that kind of grew out of this. And I guess the term is at least new to me about snowplow parents. We've heard about helicopter parents that are always nearby, they're always there to kind of as a backstop for their kids, and that's one kind of parental approach, I guess.
And those kids suck.
The snowplow parents, their kids suck even more.
Yeah.
Because the best way to describe it is, the point is, this is what psychiatrists say, you're supposed to prepare your kid for the road. In other words, teach the kid how to navigate through the world's ups and downs.
On their own.
By experiencing the downs,
Yes.
Yeah, especially the downs. Have them experience obstacles in their life so that you can show them that you learn from those, you grow from those, you bounce back from those, you move on from those. Instead of making sure that they never encounter any bumps in the road. So what these snowplow parents are doing, they're preparing the road for the kid. And I guess some of the examples that are coming out now, and it's... I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but it is shocking to me how involved some parents are in their kids' lives, even when they go away to college, to the point where the parents are calling to wake them up in the morning, for instance.
What?
That type of, like, literally your mom is calling to tell you to wake up.
Pathetic.
Just like she probably did in high school, you know? She woke you up every day in high school, and she still does. What was the story, Jensen? You saw the article about the lady who had shielded her kid from sauces his whole life?
Yeah, basically this girl goes off to college. Her mom, her whole life, made sure... I'm sure she didn't like sauces, which, by the way, you should be jailed. Because sauce is the best. But
her whole, there's 1,000 different kinds.
I know. Her mom, I guess, helped her avoid sauces. And so she called the cafeteria in advance and would try to figure out what's going to be on the food so that she could tell her daughter what to eat at the cafeteria.
That's unbelievable.
And it became such a problem for the daughter, she dropped out of college.
Because they used sauces?
They didn't have
because
the right sauces.
She couldn't avoid sauce.
There's so much sauce, you guys.
So much sauce.
I mean, you can't really blame her. So the topic that we're delving into here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, I guess, is we're looking for stories that you have encountered in your life where you have seen this. You have seen parents who are going way too far to make things easy for the kids to the point where the kids don't know how to fend for themselves at all.
Yeah, there's other stories of parents calling college professors to argue over kids' grades.
Yeah.
There's stories about parents calling like boyfriends or girlfriends to work out problems for their kid. And by the way, I say kid, it's an adult. They're over 18.
Yeah.
This is very creepy. I felt bad just bringing home like laundry.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You felt bad because you were raised properly.
Well, still, I mean, it goes beyond with these people.
Well, I had a roommate in college who came from the third richest family in Thailand.
Oh.
And every Monday he would get an envelope with $5,000 cash.
No.
Each week.
That's the best roommate to have.
Though. I don't know exactly. And I don't know exactly how you go through $5,000 in a week, but then you would get another $5,000.
You certainly helped him try.
And they would pay for a maid to come clean our suite 3 times a week.
Unbelievable. Yes.
On top of the $5,000 a week.
Wow.
So I love that, and I'm in favor of these parents.
What is there to complain
about here? I'm not mad at all. Now I'm mad I didn't know snowplow parents.
It's insane. All right, so we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you were the parent, if you were the kid, if you were a friend of the kid.
If you know of them. We need to know what's going on.
I guarantee there are people who knew people in their dorm.
Oh, yeah.
Who had this kind of situation where the parents were always around and did not... They refused to let the kid grow up, essentially, is what it is. They want to treat them like they're 5 for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, let them not wake up one day for class, and trust me, they'll get up the next time.
And right. What college student isn't arranging their classes around the TV shows they like?
Right?
Why are you waking up so early, losers?
So 1-800-520-1067, you weigh in on the snowplow parents. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Ahead of the M83s, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Don in Orange. Good morning, Don.
Hold on a second.
Really?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Really?
Wait.
Is Don on the phone? Hi,
Don's on the phone? This is a big day. Hi, Don.
We finally got Don.
We've been waiting for Don to be on the phone. All right, so we're talking about snowplow parents, a term that is new to me, but it's parents who just go above and beyond to do things for their kids so they never face any obstacles. You have some experience with this, it sounds like.
Yes. Well, actually, here we call them lawnmower parents because we don't have snow. So I've actually posted a couple of articles about this already on my Facebook because I'm a parent and I'm also a high school teacher.
Uh-huh.
And I've been dealing with this for several years. I mean, I've had kids that can't carry their backpacks. I've had their parents will walk in their classroom, put their stuff down. I mean,
what?
It's kind of ridiculous. Yes.
Oof.
So as a parent, as a teacher, I have parents emailing me about taking a test, and I'm constantly saying to them, it's the journey. Please let them fail, and so they can learn from this. It is very difficult to tell parents that, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been dealing with this for several years.
Now,
wow. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, if you don't mind, Don. Is the reason the parents are so hyped up on this is because they think it's so important for their kid to have the right grades to get into the right school? They're just kind of planning their whole future for them, and they want to make sure that they don't end up with any dings on their record as they go forward.
Absolutely. Because honestly, I just went through this with my son. He's a freshman in college right now. And I had to go through all of this last year. And I have a daughter who's going to be a junior. She's very competitive in school. And it is. The application process in colleges are ridiculously competitive. And honestly, these kids do not have the mental capacity to deal with as much anxiety that they have. Kids that are getting 5.0s, that means they have AP classes, they have honors classes, they're getting straight A's.
Right.
And some of these kids are not getting into certain colleges. So, yes, it's highly competitive.
We're talking about USC here, though, right?
Yeah, we're talking about Lori Loughlin's kids get that space because they run crew.
Exactly. Well, if you think about it, my son was very competitive. He had a 4.0. He had so many activities. He volunteered. He did all of these things. He still didn't get into like UCLA, and he didn't apply for USC because I'm like, okay, we can't afford USC.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get into like Berkeley and UCLA, and I'm like, what do you have to do?
Well,
you
know? Don, we now he, know. Like, yeah, we
he,
yeah, know.
He
now.
Only had exactly. a 4.0. I mean, have your kid try a little harder. I mean,
be
come
ridiculous.
On, yeah. All right, great conversation, Don. We really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate you calling. Listen to this, by the way, Colleen from the 562. I work at a high school. We had parents calling last year asking us to keep their kids inside during the eclipse because they were afraid the kids would go out and stare at the sun.
Those are stupid kids.
Let those kids go out and stare at the sun. That's what I'd say. We'll take your calls next time.
The M83s.
6.7 K Rock.
On the phone?
No.
She was on the phone. She's off now.
It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:40.
Talking about those snowplow parents, they want to make sure there are no bumps in the road for their precious little boys and girls, even when they grow into adulthood. Bertha writes in, I work at a pharmacy, and we have parents calling in their daughter's birth control. Parents are taking care of that. The kids also have no idea what a copay is, so apparently they're not learning the essential life lessons on how to navigate in the world.
When did it become uncool to let your kid sort of suffer and learn? When did that...
The 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
All right. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Bob. He's on line 6. He joins us from Los Angeles. Bob, we thank you for listening and for calling. What's going on, sir?
Yes, sir. I can't say which one I work for, but I work in law enforcement, and a lot of the new recruits coming through. We have, once they graduate academy, we have parents still packing their lunches for them with juice boxes.
No, come on.
Those people are protecting me.
Hold on, Bob. You said juice boxes.
Yes.
What?
We also have, it's not only that, we also have parents trying
to call in sick for the kids.
No,
don't
sir.
Don't call them kids. They're supposed to be with guns and stuff.
What?
Bob.
So you're a grown-ass adult who has gone through the police academy and is now protecting and serving the community, and your dad is calling in to, because you're sick.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Okay. No, terrified. Thanks,
I'm calling
Bob.
The cops on them.
Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's try Lola on line 7, please. West Hollywood. Hey, Lola.
Popo's out, guys.
Hello. And to you as well. What can we help you with?
I used to be a personal assistant for a celebrity family out here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and I had the pleasure of overnighting liquid laundry detergent to their daughter at school in New York.
Oh, well, gosh. Everyone knows there's no laundry detergent
you
in
can't
New York.
You can't buy it there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a shortage.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
Nope. Yeah.
Did you look at your employer's like, what? Really?
You know, by that point, I was kind of broken down, and I didn't realize how far I'd gotten until I, told a friend about it, and they were like, you did what?
Do you have any other examples of coddling? Because I expect you saw more than that.
There are so many stories. Pants stolen from her mom, and I had to go to try to find her at school. Parties thrown at the house, and it was all okay. Yeah,
wow.
it was a lot.
Who was your favorite, Kim or Courtney? Okay. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. All right. Let's try. Let's go to Sam and La Puente. Let's make this a family affair with Sam. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Bean, we're going to miss you. And
it's just like the
morning.
Why do we love that guy so much?
Every time.
Francisco is on line 5. He's in Camarillo. Up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, close your door.
In an elevator?
What's the beeping?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Long-time listener, first-time caller since 1997.
Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, what do you want to weigh in on snowplow parents?
So my sister and I, we teach at different high schools, and my sister's in another state. I won't say which one. And then I'm here in Southern California. It's 9 days as far as affluent and income. So I teach at a high school where South Oxford, where it's high minority, low income. Kids do their homework, or kids don't do their homework. But my sister would tell me stories of how, she teaches high school, where the parents do the homework. And I'll give you an example. My sister told me of a time where she was at a swim meet because my niece used to swim competitively in high school. So she ran into a parent, and the parent took out the textbooks and notebooks, and she started doing math homework. And my sister said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing my daughter's math homework."
Right there at the
and
swim meet.
She was
yeah.
like, "My sister, yeah, at the swim meet." Just
what?
And my sister was like, "Why are you doing that?" "Oh, because my daughter has cello practice after the swim meet, and my daughter won't have time to do her homework."
Well, I can tell you, I can tell you for sure, Kevin never did any of his daughter's math homework when they were going to high school.
After second grade, I was out.
Yeah. I don't know the new math.
don't do that, I think, is what we're saying.
Correct.
Thank you, Francisco, for the call. Let's do one more. Let's make it, is it, I'm sorry, I lost it. I lost the one I was looking for.
Okay.
All right.
It's possible
they hung up. Let's make it like Mike Lane 1. Just do one more real fast.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I was talking about my neighbor's son. He's 26 years old, and just last month he went through 3 jobs. And we're pretty close friends with her neighbor, and me and my wife were asking her, "Well, what's going on?" And she is basically standing up for him, stating that they don't appreciate his work ethic. And I'm thinking to myself, you mean the lack of work ethic? And they pay for his car insurance, they pay for his car payment, and then every Friday he gets a couple $100 from his mom to do whatever.
I wouldn't have a work ethic either if my parents were paying for everything and I'm 26 years old.
Stop being a hater, Mike. Let the man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show with Cage the Elephant at.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
7:53.
New bulletin, you guys.
Uh-huh.
I have just been informed by Dave, our producer, the King of Mexico, that it is okay for us to say. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Details on this year's Kevin and Bean April Fool's.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Oh, sorry, I just heard a trumpet.
Same.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Oh.
Monday morning, all the details. It's a little later this year than previous 8 years, which is why you haven't heard about it yet.
Huh?
But I'm saying it's not the first week of April like usual, so we're going on the air with it a little bit later.
I see.
But Monday morning, details.
Wait, what, Bean?
Right here on K-Rock. Ali is here now. Time for another look at what's happening. And then the great Thomas Lennon is in the green room. He'll be joining us just after 8. What's going on, Ali?
Well, get ready.
All right.
For some new music.
Yes?
Oh, I thought I'd get another trumpet something. New music. New music from The Cure.
What?
Cut it out.
What?
New music from The Cure, you guys.
All right.
NME reports frontman Robert Smith recently appeared on the John Matham Show, and he discussed the recent run of shows they've been doing and confirmed that the band has been very busy finishing up a new album, you guys.
I love The Cure.
Here is his quote. "We've enjoyed the shows, and we've just recorded a new album for the first time in 10 years. I'm still doing this for the right reasons." What? You're on The Bachelor?
And then he's going on a hometown date?
Right? "We cover different styles of music, but because it's us doing it, it sounds like us."
Yeah. I'm so excited.
What if it's like all country covers? Yeah. But done by The Cure. Still in. I'm not going to lie. Anything they do, I am still in.
Love.
But The Cure is just weeks away from being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They just announced a disintegration anniversary show, and they're doing Glastonbury Fuji Rock. I mean, it's going to get to the point where we're like, it's too much Cure.
Not possible.
Not even possible, right?
This is the best announcement since all those pandas got pregnant.
I don't know what that means. I agree, though. 100%.
Agreed.
You guys, Sophie Turner, she's out with her fiancé Joe Jonas at a Rangers hockey game at MSG. They get featured on the Jumbotron. Now, a lot of times when stars are on the Jumbotron, maybe they'll look up, they'll wave, they'll do a little whatever. Not Game of Thrones star, Sophie Turner. She decided that was her time to chug her entire glass of red wine and then with her free arm just pump it in the air.
She also dabbed. Did you see that?
I love her so much. Of course,
she's great.
The crowd just went berserk because, hello, that's awesome to see a star just up there chugging and chugging red wine.
It was a full glass.
Oh, and they're not doing like little glasses of red wine at MSG. Yeah, she chugged a full glass of red wine, fist pumped. I love her so very much.
Much respect.
Have you guys ever been on a Jumbotron at a game?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I was on a Kiss Cam once.
Were you?
With a friend.
Oh, dear.
J.C. Coakley, a friend comedian.
Tongue or no tongue?
Very funny woman. And we are just pals.
Okay.
Never had anything else. And she wanted me to slap her on the Kiss Cam because... Uh-huh. She was like, "Slap me." And I was like, nope, J.C., I will not do that. Slap me. I was like, "J.C., they'll boo me out of the arena."
Right.
And so... Instead, I went in and pecked her on the cheek in the grossest, least sexual way.
And everyone booed.
I hope everyone booed.
Yeah, you have to.
Excellent.
And I deserved it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Should have slapped her.
Should not. I mean,
I don't think that's the answer.
Maybe I should have punched her in the face.
No.
It would have been better than the soft kiss, and I regret it now.
Good Lord. I was on the Jumbotron at a Dodgers game.
You were.
And I did the most Ally thing ever. So we're standing up, and we were all wearing these really cute Dodger shirts. It's me, my friend Megan Henderson, that I used to work with at KTLA, and our other friend Amy. And the camera was on us, and you see me mouth the words, "Oh, they're wearing our same shirts."
Oh
my God.
And Megan just looks at me, and it's all caught on the video. Megan's just like, it's us, you idiot. It took me like a good 10 seconds. I was also drinking.
You mouthed that the three people up there that weren't you are wearing the same shirts as you.
They were us.
But they were you.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm like, they're wearing wearing our same shirt. And the look on my friend's face is like, why are we friends with such an idiot? Yeah.
You're a loser.
Yeah, you were totally right. It wasn't my best moment. But again, I was on the Jumbotron at Dodger Stadium. So I win.
You got a problem, lady.
I really do.
Ooh, remix.
Remix?
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
I love a Dr. Phil remix. I have said that for years. Okay, let's get out of here so we can talk to Thomas Lennon.
Yes.
Some birthdays for you. Holly Hunter, Spike Lee, Ruby Rose.
What a thrill this is to welcome back to the Kevin Bean Studios writer, comedian, actor, our friend, Thomas Lennon, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, guys. This is my 20th year on the Kevin and Bean Show.
20th?
That's wow. I counted on the drive over. It seems like 20 years.
Seems like. No, it's very possible. Yeah. Very possible. When you say you just woke up, rolled out of bed, came to the show, how long ago were you actually sound asleep?
I got up at 6:30.
Okay.
Yeah, I got up a little while ago. I got up, I pet the dogs, did that kind of stuff.
Is that code?
Yelled at the boy.
Yeah. Is that code?
This is all
that,
code.
It was all code. All code. This is all code for weed stuff.
No, yelling at the boy sounds yelling like masturbation.
Yeah. Yelling at the boy is like that CBD where you mix it with, yeah, it's all...
What code. What a remarkable career you have, and you are all over the place, and it seems like you have fun doing all of your various jobs that you do. Like, you're living your best life, Tom.
It must seem like that from the outside, right?
Right. Yeah,
so why doesn't it feel like
it? Is it all a tremendous amount of work, what you're doing?
It is, but it's also, you know, I think at some point, and it takes a while in writing and acting and all these things that I wanted to do when I was young, which, you know... The easy way to become an overnight success is just work at it for about 30 years. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, overnight success, 30-ish years in.
Right.
But I think the big thing that I learned is diversify a little bit. You know,
okay.
You've got to stay interested in different stuff. So, you know, like when I do some acting stuff, and then I have to write some stuff. Because acting will break your heart a lot of the time. Writing will break your heart sometimes. But if you can mix it up, they can all break your heart at different times.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And that's the way to live.
Yeah. You can get disappointed by everything you love at some
every
different...
Every day some disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah, you just can't mix it up. So it's not always the same kinds of disappointment.
But I can't imagine, and maybe I have no understanding of the real world of an actor, but you're a guy who is famous enough and familiar enough and popular enough that I would imagine you could get cast in most of the things that you're interested in.
Bean, that's really sweet that you say that, but
not true.
I'm in that interesting level of actor where, like, people will stop me at the airport and take pictures with me for a little while and then say, "We love you, Jason Sudeikis." And you know what? It feels good either way.
You just go, thank you.
I'm just happy to be there.
Thank
I'm part of the.
What do people ask you about the most?
The two big
Reno
ones.
Reno 911?
Reno 911's the big one. I get a lot of new boot goofing.
Right.
Which is, I go, "No boot goofing. I'm no boot goofing." It's a popular meme.
Right.
And then the other one, the big one is from I Love You Man. I have that scene with Paul Rudd where we kiss for a long time and the.
Luck out.
Yeah. Best life. Where they say, "You're a whore, Peter," which is my line from I Love You Man. So I Love You Man and Reno are the big ones, probably. Yeah.
No Balls of Fury love?
Right. I don't get a lot of Balls of Fury love. And the other big one
Balls of Fury was amazing.
Thank you very much. Very underrated. The other big one is I was Joey's hand twin on Friends.
Oh, that's right.
That? Joey
what?
Goes to,
wait, what?
Joey yeah. goes to Vegas, and he meets a blackjack dealer who has matching hands.
Right.
And he sings, "This hand is your hand, this hand is my hand." And then we do like a little, he wants to make some money with it, like with a show.
Right.
That's my other biggest credit.
I don't know if he's telling you.
No, he is.
This is real.
One thing you learn about me is I don't lie about stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. People on the street go, "I love the thing about the hands."
Joey's hand twin. Hey, Sudeikis. Sudeikis.
That is amazing. We just learned something new about Thomas Lennon. Okay, so last time we had you in, we talked a lot about the screenwriting. It may have been, we last had you in for The Odd Couple. Before that, I think you were talking about how to make $1 billion. Yeah, and we were so fascinated with the writing. So you've been writing all these movies for so long, and then you said, "Hey, not enough, gonna write a novel."
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing about when you write movies, which has been a great fun lifestyle. We wrote Night at the Museum and some movies like that, and then also movies that people hated.
that you're not
don't you
mention.
Disparage Herbie Fully
Herbie
Loaded.
Fully
by
loaded.
The way.
Thank
I
you,
stand
Bing.
By that movie.
Thank you very much. It was the last truly golden era Lindsay Lohan film. but, you know, when you write the movies, there's a lot of different voices in the mix, and you everything that gets through gets vetted by tons and tons of people.
Yeah, it feels like it's by committee. By the time it gets done, it's barely what you wrote.
Big studio movies are usually, there's a lot of people involved in everything that happens. So I thought, you know, boy, if you write a novel, you could really just get your voice through and not change really hardly anything. And the money's like 1/100th as much, so why not?
Excellent.
That's
always
good.
That's the best reason to do it.
So I could make 1/100th the money and not change anything. So, no, that's when I got into the... I thought, you know, I'd always loved things like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I loved... I'm not a heavy reader.
Right,
I'm
same.
I'm a light reader. I like
well,
light,
reading
funny
is for
stuff.
Losers, Tom. That's
yeah,
the policy.
Yeah, exactly right. R-I-L. Those posters that you see everywhere. Reading is riffle.
Yeah.
Right. Reading is for losers.
But now you have a whole new audience of 14-year-olds. So you've got that going for you.
It's been fun. The book is sort of like a 10 to 14-year-old. But it's also a book. It's called Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles. It's about a young police officer in Ireland who gets... It's very simple. He gets recruited to the Leprechaun Division.
Sure.
Yeah.
That old trope.
How do you begin that process of, I'm going to write a book, and it's about...
You know what it was? I was in Ireland, and I was in this old castle, and the guy that owned the castle was giving me one of these real boring tours. He was real proud of the castle.
Right.
And I basically wanted to, like, have a glass of wine and take a nap.
Right.
But I'd rented this castle from the guy. It's not as amazing as you're thinking it is, by the way.
Okay.
It's
basically, it sounds great.
Castles in Ireland are like basically look like an old grain silo with a couple rooms. Yeah.
Did it have a moat?
It has no moat. No
it
moat.
Had a fake wall door that went into a secret
it
hidden
has no
room.
Fake, no How, young well, Frankenstein
stuff. How has he made I rented a castle something I feel bad about now?
That's what I was trying to do. Well, here's what happened. I said on the radio I rented a castle, and then I immediately felt like a real a-hole. And I tried to backpedal and make sure that you knew that
you
this is
well.
Not that nice
it
of a castle.
A castle.
You
did it well.
This is a very reasonable castle that you can get on VRBO or Airbnb.
You rented a dorm room.
It's a studio... Yeah. Castle.
In the world. Right, I'm going to try again. How did you come up? When you started writing the book, you said, I'm going to make it about
I looked at the wall, and I'd never seen what a real Irish shillelagh is, which is like one of those clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought a shillelagh was like a little tiny cane for the leprechaun, but it was this huge like cudgel that you could basically stop a car with it if you swung it at a car. And I was like, well, that's neat. That's an old Irish shillelagh. And I thought, what if there was like a police force that had to carry these as their like main weapon, like that's the taser of this police force. And then I started thinking about leprechauns, and when I was thinking about leprechauns when I was a kid, stories about leprechauns weren't that they like put candy in your shoes. They were like they will swap a baby out for a log. They're nasty little creatures. So in the book, leprechauns are absolutely horrible. They'll empty out your wine cellar. They'll swap your baby for a log. If they give you anything nice, it's a trick.
Right.
Like, they'll give you a butter churn that makes butter forever, but you can't stop it, so you end up drowning in butter, you know, which is like great for your skin, but bad for everything else.
So don't trust leprechauns.
Don't trust them. They're horrible, and that's what it's about. So it's about the day-to-day. It's about a young guy named Ronan Boyle who's just working day-to-day crime cases of leprechauns, unicorns, Pluricons, stuff like that. Yeah,
Tom, you are super Irish, right?
I did the 23andMe. Have you guys done the 23andMe or one of these things yet? So I did the 23andMe, and I came back like 90% Irish, and then a tiny bit of like Northern Scandinavian stuff. Yeah,
right.
But
so
I was
Irish.
I was 100% Irish, basically.
Irish.
Yeah.
And leprechauns and unicorns do not get along.
In the book, you learn that the horn that a unicorn has is mostly for killing leprechauns.
That's basically
why they have it.
Took a real turn.
They really don't
sounds
get along.
Sounds like a great story for a 10 to 14-year-old.
It absolutely is. I mean, for weird 10 to 14-year-olds.
Are you already thinking this has to be a movie and I have to write the screenplay?
Oh, God. Yeah. So I wrote the book to kind of like take a brief respite from writing movies, which I've told you can make you crazy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as soon as the book comes out, everybody's like, "I'm making that movie right to the second." I'm like, "Well, maybe we
leprechaun
will.
Said that."
Yeah, a leprechaun said that to me, and then he bit me on the knee.
We have the same agent.
I'd had a couple drinks. It was either a leprechaun or Carrot Top. But some jacked little ginger bit me on the knee.
The book is called Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles, and it is available everywhere where books are sold. Thomas Lennon is our guest. We are delighted to have him. Quick break. More with him right after this on K-Rock. Just got a text in. I'm reading this live as it shows up on my screen from the 909. Oh, my God. I cannot wait to buy this book and scare the crap out of my 11-year-old.
Yay.
Somehow the holiday madness has made trapping leprechauns the day before St. Patty's Day a thing that you do, and I've explained year after year. It's a super bad, like, to catch one. Now I have proof. Thanks, Thomas. So there you go. We just sold a book for you.
Release. If you catch leprechauns, release them. Just release them.
Oh, is that
right? It's inhumane to keep them.
Okay.
All right. I mean, if you're gonna
good tip.
If you eat all of them, I feel like it's the only way that's okay.
Okay. I'm telling you now.
Either eat them all or release them.
Either eat every part of them or release them.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's not humane.
It's a good tip. If you were on the fence about buying it, let me just tell you the two positive reviews on the back of the book: Weird Al Yankovic and Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Right.
So, but they're close friends of yours. They're in your pocket.
Yeah.
They
would
write. You probably wrote their blurbs.
God, no, they wrote them. But I'll tell you right now, when you want blurbs for your book, you go straight to the Comedy Mafia. Yeah, this is why the Comedy Mafia exists.
Sure. Yeah.
Makes sense.
This is the voice of our friend Thomas Lennon. The book we're referring to is called Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles. It is available wherever books are sold. How far back do you go with Patton and with Weird Al?
You know, Patton I've known since I first got to Los Angeles and started doing comedy. And I was like, who is this guy? He's just a genius, obviously, which has been proven over and over again for years. Weird Al.
Before you answer, sure. I just want to tell you, Weird Al is Bean's favorite human being on the planet.
He is. There's a very good reason for that, because he might be Earth's finest example of a person.
So yeah. So
I was standing at this when Weird Al got his star on the Walk of Fame last year. I gave the speeches were me and Dr. Demento.
Nice.
Which felt, I know, I was a little like choked up about that. But so one day about 12 years ago, I was standing in Staples Office Supplies on Wilcox, the one up there in Hollywood. Yeah. It's about 11 o'clock in the morning. They just opened and I was out of printer toner.
Were you wearing pants?
I've got the Lieutenant Dangle mustache and the highlights, so I look genuinely, speaking of weird.
Sure.
And standing next to me is this guy with amazing curly hair. It could only be Kenny G or Weird Al.
That's
only,
it.
There's okay. Two guys in the world, and I turn and I see him and I say, hey, are you Weird Al Yankovic? And he says, yes, I am. Are you Lieutenant Dangle? I said, yes, I am. I said, should we just decide to be best friends for life?
Amazing.
And he said, great. And we shook on it, and it seemed like a joke. But then 12 years later, we've basically become best friends for life. So yeah,
that's fantastic.
He's that kind of guy.
He's the best. Who do you think would win in a fight between Patton Oswalt and Weird Al?
This is a terrible fight.
I think Weird Al
both lose.
Yeah.
Weird Al's very athletic, but I feel like Patton can really bring a lot of passion.
Scrappy. He's scrappy, and he's got a good center of gravity. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. This one's too close to call. I think it's a horrible grudge match that drags on
for
a long time.
Throw in a leprechaun, then what?
Yeah, the leprechaun, obviously, because they're pure evil.
Thomas Lennon, you told a story recently. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where I saw it, but I was fascinated by it, and it involved a hypnotist in Vancouver.
Yeah, when I first met you guys, I used to smoke a lot of cigarettes. Which was a terrible habit and something you should not do.
Dirty and filthy, kids.
Filthy,
don't do
so
it.
Gross. Don't do it. So I smoked for a long time, and then I finally I was up in Canada, and I had secretly started smoking again. Anybody who once smoked knows what secret smoking is.
Sure.
You do that thing where you just kind of like, you buy a pack, you just have one, and then you throw the pack away. But in Canada, a pack of cigarettes is like 26 Canadian dollars.
Wow.
Yeah, they're trying to get people not to smoke. So I would buy a pack of cigarettes, smoke one, throw it away, go buy another pack. Now I'm $48 into it. Yeah. So I went.
You're losing money on
I'm
the movie
losing
you're shooting.
A fortune on the. So I went and got hypnotized, and it took an hour and 45 minutes. I went under. You just put headphones on. It's basically like doing this show and listening to Bean, except you come out of it and your brain has changed.
Wait,
forever.
What were your thoughts going into it? Because I don't trust that at all.
I didn't trust it at all. Okay. I stood outside and I was like, I also did that thing right before. I'm like, in case this works, I'm going to have like 10 cigarettes right before I go in. So I was just like,
so you just did it out of desperation because you were just so ticked at yourself.
I was really mad at myself. I was so mad at myself. So I went in, and honestly, I just laid down, put on headphones. She started talking to me. I don't really remember what she said. But none of it was, like, particularly weird. It was like you're walking through the woods or something like that. I could probably do it to everybody right now if you're driving your car.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Probably bad idea.
You're driving. Not while they're driving. Now, you think.
Right.
Traffic's bad enough.
Are you hypnotizing them to keep driving?
Yeah. Dumbest hypnotist ever.
But I don't. I mean, what I would love to know is what could they not hypnotize? It seems like if you could do that, what can't they hypnotize?
Did it work?
Immediately.
100%.
100%. I walked out and I never thought about smoking again.
What?
That is shocking.
Wow.
It worked.
Okay, but 100%. Tom, if that... Look, I'm not doubting any aspect of your story. Why is that person not the richest, most well-known hypnotist in America?
I don't know. Well, for one, she's in Vancouver.
Okay, good point. Good point. She's Canadian. Right. Okay.
She's Canadian, so all her money is Canadian money.
Doesn't it? I mean, if
she could do that, she'd be the most famous in America as well.
Yes. Right. Yes. I feel like she could charge people $10,000 to do that if it really worked.
Let's not tell her this.
How much did you pay?
I think it was something like, here's the other thing, it costs a little bit.
Oh, it does.
And I think it costs a little bit so that you don't, like, blow it off.
Yeah, because if it was $5, I would think it was a scam.
I'm like, thank you. Right. And you tear it up like a flyer.
But you rent castles. You've got nothing to
cash. I'm renting some of the most reasonably priced castles. Again, like, the water was cold. The hot water would run out in 2 seconds.
Oh, God. It must have been awful to live in that castle.
It was awful to live in that castle on the west coast of Ireland.
Were you shocked an hour later, 6 hours later, 24 hours later, that you had no urge to smoke?
It's really weird. I'll be honest, it's still weird today.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just
that's
one of these
shocking.
Things. I know.
Her name because is, you didn't believe in it.
I didn't believe
it
at all.
Even when you...
Her name is... She's in Vancouver. Her name is, I'll tell you right now. Her name is Carrie Blaney. If you ever need to quit something, it was the best. Carrie
I would
Blaney.
Like to start smoking. Could she hypnotize me
to
do that?
By the way, Dean, I could do that in 2 seconds. I bop down to the French Quarter, you and me.
That's where Bean has never been.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's an amazing story. All right. May I ask you one more completely unrelated thing? Because I save
wait.
Up. In between your visits, I save up things that I want to ask you about.
If I'm correct? Okay. No. Okay. I'm going to have the correct answer. Ready?
Nothing. All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Action number one.
Yes. Oh, we wrote... Oh, this is fun.
It sounds like the most fascinating plot for a movie ever.
So we wrote... Ben and I, Ben Garant, who I've written about 12 movies with, we wrote two movies 1 year. One was Hell Baby. That we shot in New Orleans
yeah.
has been seen by that movie as of right now has been seen by 4 people.
Oh, which but is,
they loved it.
Your boy saw it. I'm your boy.
You saw
okay,
it.
Yes. 2 people in the room have seen it, which doubles the amount of people that have seen it.
Yeah.
And then we wrote another movie called Action Number One, which is about a semi-true story about Action Comics Number One, which is the first appearance of Superman in a comic book,
mm-hmm.
and it was briefly stolen from Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage owns a copy. He owns, as we know, at various points, has owned a lot of things like a Tyrannosaurus Rex skull,
right.
a castle in the Isle of Man,
sure.
and he also owns an Action Comics number one.
And he's a super, no pun intended, super crazy Superman fan to the point where he named his son Kal-El.
His son is Kal-El, right?
Yeah, that's how big a fan
so,
he is.
There was so it's a semi-true story. It's based on a true story of his Action number one got stolen. And this is a comic book that I've seen one at Comic-Con in glass. But it's a comic book that's worth, depending on the year and time, somewhere between $1.5 to $2 million, basically. It's,
wow,
it's one of the rarest,
crazy.
You've
toughest.
Seen the picture. It's like Superman holding up a car.
He's got a car over his head. It's like the first time he's ever in something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a story about it's like a Ocean's 11 heist about some young nerds who want to steal.
Did they caught the guy who stole it?
I think they in the real life it was
in
returned. Without ever, I think, anyone being prosecuted for the crime.
Oh, gotcha. Wow.
I think it was returned somehow.
Is Nick Cage aware of your movie?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, he was offered the role of Nicolas Cage and passed.
He passed!
Yeah.
Not believable.
Which I think is the only movie he's ever passed on.
Congrats!
Yay!
Congrats. That's difficult.
But he gave his blessing, but felt like it was a little on the nose for him to play him.
I feel like he would be so good
at that. He'd be amazing as him.
Don't you think? All right. You did your Barnes & Noble thing the other night. Any other appearances for Ronan Boyle around
town? I'm going to be at bookstores all around the country for the next couple weeks. I paused bookstore tours just because I ripped my meniscus, so I just started walking again, but I'm going to be at bookstores all around the country.
The classic author injury.
Right? Yeah, the classic.
Just was getting up from your word processor, man. It can be dangerous.
Meniscus! But so I'll be back on tour in a couple weeks at like all kinds of bookstores all around the country.
And wearing the kilt?
Is that? I'll often be in the kilt. I got a, I got a saffron Irish kilt that
it's
I'll be in.
It's a great look.
So come... Come see what's underneath.
It's a great look. The book is called Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles. Check it out. It's perfect for the young person in your life. Let's not...
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Jensen, is that song on your Yacht Rock playlist? It should be.
It's up there, yeah.
It totally sounds like it came right out of 1978, that song, doesn't it?
Wind in my hair, sails up.
Exactly. Hey, the girl, what's happening?
Well, I'm a woman and I have a name, but who cares, really? Nobody.
Hey, Allie.
I have a name, Bean.
Oh, now we hear
you. Yeah, now you're in. All right. Woodstock 50, you guys.
Yes.
The announcement yesterday. A split room on this, but the event is going to take place August 16th through the 18th in Watkins Glen in upstate New York. Some of the headliners for day one would be The Killers, Miley Cyrus, Santana, Lumineers, Rock on Tears. And by headliners... That's the first row.
Okay.
Day two, Dead & Company, Chance the Rapper, The Black Keys, Sturgill Simpson. Okay. Day three, Jay-Z, Imagine Dragons, Halsey, Cage the Elephant. What?
That sounds like a great show.
Amazing. And then you add in Robert Plant, Greta Van Fleet, Janelle Monáe, Maggie Rogers, Portugal the Man, Bishop Briggs. And then if you're nostalgic about the original 1969 festival, there's a half dozen artists who performed at the original, including Santana, like I mentioned, John Fogerty from Creedence, Clearwater Revival, John Sebastian, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's David Crosby, Country Joe McDonald, Canned Heat. It's here we go. Yes.
I've always loved this song just because of the lead singer's voice.
Let's hear it. It is powerful.
I believe, am I wrong about this? Isn't the lead singer dead?
Not here. Not here.
I thought we lost him.
Let's not talk about that right now because we're worshiping him.
Canned Heat, everybody.
Country, baby, don't you wanna
go?
This is real.
No, I know.
I'm going to tell you that I enjoy this.
I just love that singing.
Yeah, it's excellent.
It sounds like Emo Phillips.
So in 2019, this band is going to get up on stage at the site of the original Woodstock where they played 50 years ago.
Well,
and they're
going to
do it again.
It's not the original site. Because that's Bethel Woods, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is what?
Nearby.
Glen. Okay. Yeah, nearby. A stone's throw.
They put up condos at the old spot.
Oh.
High-rise condos.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke.
No,
about...
I am. They didn't do it.
Who is that sings that about the paving and the...
That was Joni Mitchell.
Thank you. Good God. That was
her song she wrote about the Woodstock Festival,
Okay.
I think that's, you could argue that we are festivaled out, that there are so
that's
many
my argument,
now.
Just for the record, yeah.
Because there's Lollapalooza, and there's Coachella, and there's Outside Lands, and there's Bonnaroo. I mean, there's so many of these now, but they still somehow manage to attract 200 bands to play this weekend.
Yeah.
So there's still, I guess there's still a market out there for them.
Absolutely. You guys know
any
about
desire
this,
to go to this, you guys?
Nope.
Kevin and I went to Woodstock 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were there.
Yep.
That one sucked. That was awful.
Sure was a lot of mud, tell you that.
Well, our favorite Limp Bizkit performed
correct.
At that one.
Very true.
And also, I want to remind everybody, hashtag...
Bizkit
for Weenie.
Yeah.
We are trying our hardest to get Limp Bizkit to perform this year at the Weenie Roast. And we are running up against a little bit of a wall.
Right.
No one's hearing us, so we need to make sure people understand... We need Limp Bizkit at Weenie Roast.
It would
hashtag
be so
Bizkit
fun.
For Weenie.
It
yeah.
would be so fun to have them at the show. And
absolutely.
I don't know why the suits don't see it.
Let's break stuff together.
See? Right? Together. Let's break stuff in together now.
I think we may have our ears closer to the ground on this one than the suits do, you guys.
I know we do.
We absolutely do.
Hashtag biscuits for weenie.
Okay, we need Kevin and Bean to tweet that out so people get the correct spelling of biscuits for weenie.
B-I-Z-K-I-T-S-Z? No, B-I-K-I-T-S.
Like I'm saying, we need Kevin and Bean to tweet that out so we have the correct one.
Limp biscuit.
Good Lord. You guys, when I come back, I have a story for all of you rich folks. Riding your bike right now, that Peloton that you own, riding it thinking, isn't this great? Aren't I cool?
Expensive bike?
Oh, have you? Do you know what the Peloton is? It's the bike that you ride. It's this immersive experience where you're riding and you have the screen in front of you. So you're riding with all these different riders. You have a team. It's drafting you. It's not drafting you.
Oh, wait.
You.
It's stationary?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a real bike.
No.
You could take video classes. You could also have a video in front of you of you going through the Alps. Or
you could be anywhere.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did a stupid thing.
They did a real dumb thing. We'll talk about that next. Some birthdays for you, though. Happy birthday, Spike Lee. Ruby Rose, Holly Hunter.
All right, I got a lot of things to talk about because this is my last day before vacation. There is a cottage industry. Kevin, you won't have heard about this yet, but I think you'll be fascinated by it. There is a cottage industry around a woman named Elizabeth Holmes, who currently, by the way, is awaiting a trial for what, Jensen? For fraud and...
I mean, basically all sorts of fraud, yeah.
All sorts of business fraud, right. So she... there's a very popular HBO documentary that's out now called The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley that I had the opportunity to watch last night. There's a book out called Bad Blood that's a bestseller. Jensen, you've heard a podcast on Elizabeth?
Yeah, there was a podcast called The Dropout that's been going on, I think, for the past year that I've been maybe too obsessed with.
Yeah.
But I would assume that's what the documentary is based on. Same stuff.
Yes, exactly. Kevin, it's one of the craziest things you've ever heard in your life because you remember the financial crash of 11 years ago or whatever it was. And there were a lot of reasons for it, but one of the reasons is the startups. You know, the startups, people were just throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at them because they had an elevator pitch, and there was nothing behind it.
Right.
Right? You would think that they would have learned their lesson by that. So you've got this woman, Elizabeth Holmes, who is a Stanford dropout who claims to have invented a way to revolutionize healthcare by taking a finger prick worth of blood, not out of the vein, but just a tiny fingerprint's worth of blood, and being able to drop that into a machine that would then run 200 different tests on your blood. And her idea, her vision, what she sold was, we're going to have one of these in every pharmacy, in every doctor's office, in every home in America if we want, and we'll all be able to make our own blood tests and catch cancer early, and it's just going to revolutionize everything, and it's going to be cheap, and it's going to be fast, and it's going to work.
By the way, that's a miracle if true.
It's like, it would be like Salk. It would be like one of the biggest moments
that's
in medical
what I was
history
thinking.
If it really pulled off.
Like
and also,
Salk.
One small thing to
follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. The one thing I would also note is she was 19 years old when this kind of attention around her started.
Yes.
And everyone was like, guys, we want to introduce you to the new Steve Jobs.
Right.
Yes. Like, that was how she was introduced in meetings. It was a fury around an entrepreneur that probably has never happened before.
Everybody thought she was Steve Jobs, she was Bill Gates, she was Larry Ellison, she was the Google guy, she was everybody. Okay. So yeah, and she dresses like Steve Jobs and she's very weird and she never blinks and there's just so much that we don't have time to go.
The best part is her voice.
Yeah, she started to talk in a vocal fry, a deeper voice.
I pulled a clip.
Okay, great.
I pulled a clip. Now, I guess and Donna knows more about this than I do. She was telling me that she taught herself to talk like this and talks like this 24 hours a day, like she does not break. Why does she think that this is going to make her successful?
Our goal is to be within 5 miles of every person's home, the Walgreens nationally. Our success will be in being able to make it possible.
So I hear that and I go, she sounds like... So you're putting her through the voice changer so she can't be identified.
Or somebody is making fun of somebody else that's stupid. That's what you do for the stupid dog.
And then I said,
it's me, Kevin Ryder.
Through the process of being stabbed by a big needle to get blood anymore.
That's a young woman whose voice it is.
Do you think she's fighting the concept that she's way too young to have all
100%.
This attention?
100%.
Yes, there's two things, and they talk about it in the podcast. One is that it is proven
Mm-hmm. That women who have a deeper voice make 20% more than women who have a higher voice in business.
You better believe take it more them seriously. More because they sound more manly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But then also she got drunk a few times and talked like this.
Yeah, on tape. It's so fun to look at all of the different, but here's her real voice. And then you play it and you're like, oh, there's the lady.
Yeah.
She got hundreds of millions of dollars wow. of investors, and from people like Warren Buffett, and from all the big VC people, and she got people on the board of her company like Henry Kissinger and George Shultz, another former Secretary of State, and all these super high profile people. Her machine never worked. And she was just incredibly secretive about it and made everybody sign these crazy NDAs so that they wouldn't talk about it. It never worked, Kevin. She never invented
it. Had it.
She put her name on the patent, and then the guy who was supposed to testify in a trial about the patent killed himself instead. All right? And she never had anything to do with inventing it, but she's hailed as this great inventor who doesn't know anything about anything. The entire thing is, it's like the Fire Festival all over again.
How does Warren Buffett or somebody like that invest in something and not say, show me how it works?
It goes further than that. Walgreens purchased machines from her and had them in like 100 stores.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a machine that worked. They just sent a blood test, a normal blood test to Walgreens, set them all up in the stores, and it was a fake invention.
Wow. It's crazy. She has not been sentenced yet. Like I said, she is awaiting trial along with her CEO. But it is definitely, I'm not trying to bite on Jensen's getup on this, but it's definitely something you ought to know about and you ought to look into because it is one of the craziest stories. Like you can't imagine this happened in the last 3 years. You know what I mean? Like it seems like
people we're way too smart for that.
People have been scammed
not
too
me,
often.
Not me, but people with money.
People I'm have been scammed too way too often that. To fall for something like this. And it's a tremendous lesson in white privilege, too, by the way. Tremendous lesson. I mean, she's not even hot, by the way.
Oh,
but
geez.
But she's
think
white.
That has anything to do with
what
it.
What I'm saying is she's young and she's white, and people will throw. But look, let's all be honest. A brilliant black man couldn't get a meeting with these people. That threw hundreds of millions of dollars at her.
Especially
you know what I'm
an
saying?
Ugly one, am I right?
Right?
Babe?
They yes, gotta be yes, attractive, for God's sakes.
So anyway, Elizabeth Holmes is her name, and that's her creepy voice, and that's definitely something.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:34.
I just feel sad for everyone listening to the show right now.
How come?
Oh.
Just sad.
Why?
Because they probably missed Thomas Lennon. They probably didn't get to hear the great Thomas Lennon when he stopped by earlier today.
He was great.
If only there was a way.
He got a best-selling book, Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles, out now, but he is hilarious on every topic. It was one of the most fun interviews we've done in a long time, and if you're up now and listening to the show, you probably missed it. So I'm recommending the Kevin Bean podcast. You go to radio.com, krock.com, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast, and don't miss a minute. All right, Allie, take us home. What's happening?
I would like to take you home. You guys know these Peloton bikes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have bought them because you basically get a great workout. You can be anywhere in the world on the screen in front of you. You can have a team of riders that you actually become friends with.
Yep.
It's kind of astonishing,
and
this
last
Peloton.
And last month they put out a treadmill. First time ever.
Unbelievable, this company. Well, they're being sued right now by a bunch of music publishers alleging that the maker of the video streaming exercise bikes have used more than 1,000 songs from artists like Lady Gaga, Drake, Gwen Stefani, Justin Timberlake, all without permission.
The hot girl in the mansion in the commercial is not in any danger of being sued, though, is she?
I think she's fine.
She's safe.
Congratulations. Okay. Yeah. So it's a copyright infringement lawsuit which seeks more than $150 million in damages. It was filed yesterday. Basically, the guy said music is a core part of the Peloton business model and is responsible for much of the brand's swift success. Thousands of exclusive videos and playlists are a reason why thousands of people have purchased Peloton products. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, instead of recognizing the role of songwriters to its company, Peloton has built its business by using their work without their permission or fair compensation for years.
Yeah, I have a similar treadmill. I have a Nordic Track that does the same exact thing, but all the music is, you know, stuff they pay for. No songs I can recognize.
Yeah.
And I figured they don't do that because they have to pay royalties.
Oh, it would be
cost too much.
I would think an insane amount of money to have all of these
different singers.
You guys, music's supposed to be free, man.
Well, I don't know. About $150 million worth of songs. So we will see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of song and songwriting, mm-hmm. you know the song Seven Rings by Ariana Grande? Chart-topping mega hit. Hit the number one spot in the Billboard
Great
Top
song.
100. Let's hear a little bit.
It's the Tiffany's and bottles and bubbles. Girls with tattoos who like getting in trouble. Lashes and diamonds, ATM machines. Buy myself all of my favorite things.
So when you hear that, you hear her listing her favorite things, just like the song My Favorite Things from The Sound of Music, but hers were raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens.
You don't have to tell Kevin. He played Liesel in the stage production.
Were you the youngest? Right, yeah. Oh, that is delightful. Yeah. So you might be wondering about the royalties of that song. Well, Ariana Grande and the track's other songwriters are seeing just a tiny fraction of the total payday, because the royalties are really going to the famed songwriting duo of Rodgers and Hammerstein. Stein? Hammerstein.
Sure.
Them.
Ask the Jewish guy.
I don't know. They're just rich as hell,
yeah.
man.
And they've been dead for decades.
Yeah.
Right.
How much do you think of the royalties are going to them?
I mean, I don't know. Isn't it like 10 to 20% or something?
Usually you can negotiate somewhere between 10 and 30%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a sample, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not really a sample. It's essentially the same, just different lyrics.
The melody, but I'm saying it's this, it's like a sample.
It's like an interpretation or whatever.
So 30, interpolation.
Top end.
30, top end. Yes. All right. Well, the deal for Seven Rings was only worked out a few weeks prior to the song's release.
Oh, that's a nightmare for her.
Because Grande's record label, Republic, presented the completed song to Concord, the publishing firm that owns the catalog of Rodgers and Hammerstein. Stein. And Concord said, yeah, we'll take 90% of those royalties.
What?
Oh, boy.
And the singer's reps, quote, accepted without further negotiation.
90%. 90%
Holy of
cow.
The royalties of Seven Rings not going to Ariana Grande or the track's other songwriters.
Yeah.
That's an insane amount of money
wow.
for two dudes that are dead.
In hip-hop, that happens every once in a while, too, when you use a full sample in a rap song.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll ask for 100% and get it. Because
wow.
it
why?
Well, because the hook is such a big deal, and that's the reason it's, you know, like those Flo Rida songs.
Without that hook, that song wouldn't exist.
And it turns into sales for them on other songs.
Absolutely.
And concerts.
But wait, what about, you mentioned there are how many songwriters on the song? 10?
There are 10.
Okay, what about the other people who now are getting their percentage out of the 10% that's left after Rodgers and Hammerstein? They have got to be really ticked off by that.
Yeah.
I can't
right?
imagine they're thrilled.
Yeah, because it's not their fault.
No. They didn't come up with that part. Well, no one did, really. But
yeah.
you know what I mean. They didn't ask for that part to be included.
Right, right, right. That's interesting.
Yeah. 90%, you guys.
I remember when that...
she's a terrible negotiator.
It wasn't even a negotiation.
It wasn't just like, okay.
Yeah, you remember we used to play a lot that song by The Verve, right? Bittersweet Symphony.
Sure.
Yeah, I like that song.
Remember that? Huge song.
Yeah.
50% of that, the royalties to that, went to Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, because the sample in that song is an orchestral version of a Rolling Stones song. And the Stones took 50% of that song.
Can the people who own the copyright pretty much demand their price?
I mean,
yeah,
it's a negotiation.
They have the right to
yeah.
say no.
They can say no no matter
yeah.
what.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, in Busta Rhymes' Break Your Neck, you know, when at the beginning mm-hmm. he goes, give it away, now. Mm-hmm. He does it for literally, what, 8 seconds, 10 seconds?
How much did the Chili Peppers
I heard
get?
They got like 25% of the song.
You're kidding.
But it's not even in it again. It just shows up at the way beginning.
Just at the very beginning.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's all crazy.
I thought music was supposed to be free, you guys.
This character keeps coming back.
Who is he? I hate him. I
like he's a guy who doesn't understand that's, how musicians
I like
make
old,
a living.
Old Napster guy.
Yeah, Steve Napster. That's who that is.
Yeah. Oh, remember Napster?
Yeah.
Good God.
Steve Napster and his friend Thomas Limewire. I'll be Thomas Limewire next time.
Excellent. You guys, AV Club did an article. The writer, Oliver Whitney, I just need to tell you this because it cracked me up the way that he wrote this article about MoviePass. And everything that MoviePass has done the past year has just been nuts.
It hasn't been crazy successful.
Well, they killed the company.
They killed yeah. the company. Then they try and change something. Then they change something. It was just nuts. But the title of the article is MoviePass, Desperate to Get Back Together, is bringing back the unlimited plan. Mm-hmm. And the way that Oliver Whitney writes this is all basically MoviePass is your ex-boyfriend. He's doing everything now to try and get back in your good graces. Do you trust him? Because he kept screwing you type of thing.
Short leash.
It's well written. But here's the thing. The ticketing subscription service is bringing back the unlimited monthly plan. And according to the CEO, it will be unfettered, just like MoviePass was before.
But
do you believe it?
No.
But
soon, you can once again get that sweet, sweet deal of a movie a day at two different pricing options. Either pay a one-time annual fee of $119.40, which breaks down to $9.95 a month, the original plan's price, or $14.95 month to month. But those price points, just a limited offer. The other but, apparently there's no limit on how many 2D movies you can see.
This is, I'm already confused.
What?
This is all great. It sounds good.
Distinction,
right?
Between 3D then.
Where things could get tricky and your ex-boyfriend MoviePass could be screwing you is, according to Business Insider, the new unlimited plan could place restrictions on your title choices based on their location, day of movie, time of movie, title, and the individual user's historical usage.
Everything then.
Everything.
Yeah.
Cut the ex-boyfriend loose.
Good Lord,
it's all the movies you want to see except some that you want to see.
Except most that you want to see in your city at the time you want to see it.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
What about the butt?
I gave you two butts, sir. I gave you two butts.
Can I give you, while we're talking about movies, can I give you a quick review of
Us? Yes, please.
I saw Jordan Peele's Us last night.
Oh,
and it is great.
Oh, that's so good.
You are all going to love it. It is terrifying and funny and smart and it's weird. And
he is an auteur
and he's the man.
Is it better, worse, or the same as the quality of Get Out?
I think it's on par with Get Out.
Wow.
Oof. I do.
That's fantastic. Good when Lord. Does that come out?
I think this week,
this
right?
weekend, yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I could not recommend it more. Very fun. Love it.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Music, right?
Honestly, some of the best music ever used in a horror movie.
I mean, just the trailer alone. I was like, all right, Jordan Peele,
also,
I'm in.
I saw it in a normal theater, like not, you know, nothing Dolby or anything crazy like that. The sound editing is some of the best I've ever... There were things that I thought were in the theater. I was like, is someone in the theater
screaming? Around?
Yeah. It's really good mixing and it's really cool. Yeah.
I don't know if I've been more excited for a movie than Us.
And also, God bless Tim Heidecker. Who you don't expect much from, because, you know, he's like Tim and Eric.
He's Tim Hines. Yeah.
He is great in this.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to love it.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Cannot wait. Remember when I told you about CBS's new Frankenstein-inspired cop drama?
Nope.
Frankenstein. And we were like, what is happening? Well, it now has its lead, and it's Ryan Phillippe. So that kind of changes my thought on this.
We like him.
Yeah, it has also changed the title. The new title is called Alive. Here is what the series is about. It's going to center on Phillippe's character. He's a San Francisco police investigator who is presumed dead after an attack and a fire at his home, but shockingly shows up 6 months later alive.
CBS
Previously,
cares.
He was a spirited, lively dude, now haunted by visions of a case he was working on when he, quote, died. So essentially, Dr. Frankenstein brought him back, is what I think we're looking at.
Okay.
I mean, it's Ryan Phillippe, though, so we're in.
I'm in.
Okay, cool.
CBS presents this program in color.
I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be in color, right?
Yeah, no, this will not be in color, which was the next part of the story.
I got a lot of CBS tape, by the way.
I bet you do.
I mean, how long has it been since we've needed this one?
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
I mean, holy crap. I have it standing by in case we ever need it.
How about never?
Bean, were you guys on the air live when that happened?
Yep, we were. Yeah, we'd only been here about 11 years then, but it was still a very emotional day for us.
What else you got?
I got a lot of stuff.
I want to hear some old CBS stuff.
CBS corporate bull.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't notice anymore, right?
CBS used to own us.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm into the Ryan Phillippe. I will definitely check it out. I think that's an intriguing idea for a story.
We were just talking off the air about the CBS All Access and the fact that they keep doing things that make us go, oh, God, no, I need it.
I'm going
to
buy it.
You want it just for Twilight Zone. And then we find out that Chris O'Dowd is going to be in one of the episodes of Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. So why would you not buy it?
People love the Star Trek that's on there.
Yes. Right. I mean, I feel
like it's also access to every CBS series ever, as I understand it correctly. Like, if you wanted to go, if you wanted to have all, you know, 14 seasons of Bones or whatever, if Bones was on CBS, I'm saying that's the type of thing.
Go with the like a CSI. Yeah.
CSI, CBS. Great. Okay. Like, all the CSI episodes, for instance, you would have that access.
I'll finally get to see all of the young Sheldons 5 or 6 times each, which is I'm most excited about.
Bean went Bones, and it's on a different network.
Like I said, whatever kind of show is on CBS.
I appreciated it.
CBS may have been a better choice. Or CSI.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Right. You're right? You want to talk about it?
Not good for New York.
It was chaos.
That was inside Bean's brain. Yeah. That was disturbing to hear that. Let's talk about some birthdays, you guys. Holly Hunter, Ruby Rose, Spike Lee, and that's what's happened.
5 p.m. commercial-free. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, Jensen has Get Up on This, mm-hmm. where he introduces us to something new. The Ace Man, Adam Carolla, joins us in studio. Are we falling for this again?
I don't know. Can we trust him?
I don't know.
Is he coming?
Last week, he broke our heart. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago.
The rain and can't drive. And then
he did straight up use rain as an excuse.
Yeah, a guy that is from Southern California that has known what it's like when it rains in California.
He's like, come on, guys. Be alpha. Be real masculine. You got to get out there and you got to take women. And then he's like, I can't drive. It's raining.
He probably poked his head out the front door and went, nope.
Nope, went back to bed.
I said poor Adam Carolla would have been here and ready to go.
Oh, sure.
Rich Adam Carolla's like, I don't need Kevin and Bean.
Sure. Right? He checked on his helicopter. They couldn't fly. So that was it.
Plus, Dr. Drew on Thursdays, and we've got your tickets to see Black Keys at the Forum and a chance to win a trip to see them.